We were
well, just James our... Spader as Ultraman, but now that got re-caught on this recording.
That's true.
James Spader as Ultraman.
Take it away.
Welcome to episode serious shit of Crippled System.
IG. 88.
Huh?
IG.
88.
What? Yeah, IG also. IG 88, the best bounty hunter. Mm. Yes. Okay, Boba Fett never was the Death Star.
No, I was thinking about
it. There is a whole the short story with IG 88 is the best.
When he's the Death Star, like he's holding doors shut just to annoy Palpatine. Like Palpatine's trying to go through the door and IG 88's like, nah, fuck you, old man. Like, that's brilliant.
That is pretty good.
That's no longer canon.
I have no idea what you guys are talking about whatsoever.
Have you seen the Star Wars movies?
Yeah.
So in Empire Strikes Back, when they're on like Vader's ship, and there's all those random bounty hunters in the background, and like Boba Fett's one of them. Vader's like, "Go catch them all." All of those guys have names and stories and books and stuff like that. And the robot one is IG-88.
Ah.
And through a mad collection of adventures, he's actually in charge of the second Death Star.
Like, not only in charge of the
he's the mind.
In Return of the Jedi, he downloads his artificial intelligence, and the Death Star is his body.
Yeah.
Like, literally, that's just him floating in space during that entire final battle in Return of the Jedi.
And he even mentions, like, the way that these lasers set up wouldn't hit anything. I can fix that. Oh, man, I hit a capital ship. That was amazing.
Yes. It's pretty sweet. I like him.
It was an enjoyable story.
It's no longer canon.
You know, fuck Lucas. It's canon.
It wasn't Lucas's decision.
It's Disney
that decided that.
Yeah. Fuck all of them.
Lucas said, "Here, you fuck it.
It's your
everything.
Problem.
It's your new problem. Story now. Has to be better than some of those stories. They have to be better. They have to be better than Thrawn.
If they're not better than Thrawn, then to hell with all.
They'll
of them.
Do nothing's fine. Better than Thrawn.
Well, that's the problem. Yeah, right. That's my concern.
It doesn't matter. We still have Thrawn. Disney's... Like just because Eisner's like this. Well, whoever's in charge of Disney now, it's Eisner. I don't know. Just if they say it's fuck them, they don't get to decide.
But I wanted to see Thrawn.
Disney has done really well with all their acquisitions.
They have.
And done it right.
But even if these movies are good, they can't take Thrawn away from
me. Thrawn is hard.
They can't take Thrawn away from me.
They can.
Nope.
No.
Nope. He's in my heart forever.
This will be like Fahrenheit 450. They'll go and burn your books.
No.
My name's Nathan. They'll make you take drugs so you'll forget the memories of Thrawn.
No! Internal Sunshine of the Spotlight's Fahrenheit 451.
it'll be 452, the sequel.
There you go.
452, there you go.
That was my intro.
Speaking of books, we saw two of the three-part movies for the Atlas Shrugged.
Of books.
We were talking about
Fahrenheit. On purpose?
Yeah.
Why the...
I heard the first one was pretty
really good.
What'd you see?
Then they hired a new cast because everyone
well,
the first
hired
one
a new
quit.
Cast each time.
Because the first one had the lady from Orange is the New Black, the guy
and
from...
And the guy from...
what? Is it The Shield?
St. Louis. Deliverant.
Alex Schaefer?
No, what's the new show that takes place in St. Louis?
Gotham?
Defiance. So it was the guy from Defiance, the sheriff, and then the main girl from Orange is the New Black.
Okay.
With the two main characters in the first one. And they just carry it. It's amazing. So
I heard that the
what
first...
It's
Atlas Shrugged. But they're making the one shitty book into a three-part shitty movie series.
The first one was good.
I heard the first one was about as tolerable as, like, it had the production value and acting range of a high school production. And then the second one was, like, junior high. So they say the third one's going to be, like, elementary school, kindergarten
pageant. The second one was rough.
Pretty terrible.
Second one was rough. The first one was actually really good, and I have heard the third one's bad.
I've heard
one was good.
More. I've heard more positive about the first than I've. I mean, I'm not interested in it. But.
If the first one were a standalone movie and you didn't have to watch two and three to figure out what happens, the first one would be a very good movie.
Okay.
It was actually well done.
Part of the issue is that the source book is irredeemably terrible.
I've never read it.
Atlas Shrugged is fucking awful.
I wouldn't know.
Oh
yeah.
All right.
I mean, to be fair. There are lots of books out there that they made decent movies out of that were bad books. Like, it happens.
Lord of the Rings is pretty good.
I enjoy that book. Shut up.
Enjoy your seven chapters about a guy getting on a horse.
Yeah. No, it's about 30 guys getting on 30 horses, and they have to list the bloodline of the guys and the horses.
Yep. God. Very important. That's a lot of unneeded hate we're going to get now.
Yeah. Well, if the Atlas Shrugged movies are anything like the books, the third movie will have... 3 hours of a monologue. Because there's a monologue in that fucking book that's like 100 pages long. And it's like,
I don't know. The
Christ.
Third one's in theaters, and we weren't going to pay to go see it in theaters. But I'll probably see it when it comes out. I'll rent it.
It's interesting. I had no idea that
I rent
it was
everything
even out.
So.
Yeah.
But are they just called something different?
There's Atlas Shrugged, and then there's Atlas Shrugged to The Strike, I think it's called. And then I forget what 3 is called.
The thing is, though, the reason they have such low production values is it's actually just like a copyright fill. It's they're doing it out of obligation. Like, this is kind of like when they did the Fantastic Four really shitty movie in, the, like, 1972 that never actually got released with, like,
So they can keep control of the copyright?
Yeah. This is, yes.
Oh. So that's why they made the...
Well, the first one was legitimately not terrible, but the second one felt like they were just going through the motions. Yeah. Like, they really were. Like, the actors, there was no... Like, one thing is, there's a huge... I mean, you've read it. So there's the huge role between Dagny and...
Lacey. Reardon. Dagny and Lacey.
Yeah, Dagny and Reardon. And in the first movie, it's Orange is the New Black Girl and Defiance Guy, and they do it amazingly. Like, they've got chemistry, and it's really good. And then the two actors they have played in the second one, it's like, have you met each other?
My guess is that they decided to actually put forth some effort in the first third to feel the water, and then it bombed terribly, and they're like, all right, fuck it, this is obligation.
Which is unfortunate.
Like, they thought maybe, well, if the first part had done well, then they might have, like, actually tried.
Well, the first one did well. The problem was the first one was a big enough success that people moved on to other things. That's why why the entire cast moved.
Yeah, Orange is the New Black and the Defiance Guy both got lead roles the next season
because
in TV
of
shows.
So they couldn't do that anymore.
And they were like, I got a lead role versus one movie, bye.
I believe the movie did bomb, though, financially speaking.
But that's something... You would lock down on somebody. You would lock them down on a contract, so they have to.
Well, especially
if you're going to have like a trilogy or something like that. That's almost unheard of, where they just
signed
them
doing
on
unknown actors. I don't think they expected those actors to do well enough that they'd be like, oh man, I'm big now, and they didn't want to pay them for a 3-movie contract when they were unknown.
Also, if those movies have a single person with a production credit, it's hypocritical.
I didn't notice. I don't look at the production credits for movies.
Well, because if that movie wasn't entirely funded by one person out of their own pocket money, then it's a complete hypocrisy versus the story.
Did it have giant spiders?
I believe so, yes. Oh, okay. Yes, that's at the end. But that was in the original book, too. Just giant spiders come out to fight capitalism.
Okay. Yeah, fight in the third act.
Were giant spiders in Maze Runner.
Which was fun.
Maze
Runner.
I almost saw it today.
Saw it. Partially on Alex's recommendation. Like, he said it was really good, and him and Meg enjoyed it, and we went and saw it, and we liked it.
Well, you love tween girl movies.
I do love tween girl movies, so I enjoyed it.
We actually had a tween girl with us.
Yeah, so that worked out well.
Is that Jeremy's fetish?
That's my sister, so...
No.
Is that Jeremy's fetish?
No, 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 no. No.
Ixnan the Eddish Fae.
But yeah. Anyway, so I guess we're a ways into intros now. I'm Jeremy, Valiant 418 on the forums, and I play Rhett and Legion.
I'm Andy, Major Tusk, and I play Mercenaries.
I'm known as Brian Geist by telemarketers.
Geist.
Geist. And then I just hang up. Oh, I hang up. That's noise. Mr. Geist there. No. On the forums, I'm known as that jackass who wouldn't agree with me on my spring schedule ideas. But you can call me Brian. Anyway.
But then there were kittens.
I thought we were going to bring that
what?
Up.
What? I didn't bring that up.
You brought it up.
I'm introducing who I am. It's all that's
we
all
skipped
it is.
Someone.
Well, she didn't say anything.
Nathan
didn't.
Nathan's
done. You didn't get done talking before I say anything.
Started done. Words.
Anyway,
so announcements then.
Nathan, you never introduced yourself either.
Yeah, he did. He did it the first time.
I said Nate halfway through one of the sentences
he
had.
He did.
Go ahead, Katie. No. I interrupted you for comedic effect. Now you may have an intro. Seriously, if I interrupt you again, it's funny this time. Go on.
Okay. Are you sure?
Yes.
Okay. This is Katie, Bad Horse in the forums. And I'm currently hatching wedding plans or wedding schemes with my friend.
Attending a wedding, not having a wedding, for the record.
And another one?
We're hatching schemes. It's very fun.
If you have to scheme, I think that's not, like that's when Humperdinck marries Buttercup. He had schemes.
He did, in fact.
I'm sure it's been done before. I want to witness a surprise wedding.
Like a flash dance wedding?
No, we're one person doesn't know it's a wedding.
Wow.
Like the bride or groom just doesn't know.
To be fair, there are probably lots of grooms that happens to.
We had a co-worker.
It's called shotgun.
Here, put this on and show up at this location.
No,
why is this a church?
Here's the. I had a co-workers. They went to Mexico. They were engaged. Well, they weren't. I think they may have been engaged or they talked about it. They went to Mexico just for the hell of it. And the guy brought his family and her family down to Mexico without her knowing it. And then they basically got married. It was a surprise wedding down there when they were down there. She had no idea what was about to happen. And it was like, boom, everyone's here.
Were they engaged, though?
I'm not 100% sure.
But that's what I want. I don't want the engagement to be happening. It's just surprise wedding.
Surprise. I don't know. But it was pretty much like, oh, everyone's here. Now we're getting married right now.
There might be like slavery laws that's against, like, just to like...
Well, I'll take it. Yeah.
right? I mean, if you have like a couple that's been like living together for like past 10 years or something like that.
I was going
to
say,
the big issue is that you have to get the wedding license, and it takes a week for them to get it to you, and you have to sign it at the wedding. Mm-hmm. So that's like, legally speaking, that's literally impossible.
As someone who has some experience with this, can have a wedding, and then at the end of it tell the pastor, thanks but no thanks, we don't have a wedding license. And then he gets very upset, and then you have your party. Mm-hmm, and then a couple of months later, you have your realtor come over to your house, who's also a...
peace guy.
Justice of the Peace or whatever. Come over to your house, along with like four or five family members, and you just go in the backyard and go, yay, we're married! And you go in and you sign the paper and you're done. Hypothetically, I might have some experience with that.
Hypothetically, that might be a good way to do it.
Hypothetically, which anniversary would you celebrate?
The one that everyone else
remembers. That everyone else thinks is our wedding. It's the one that we have art in our house that has that the date of the fake wedding on it, because it was a gift from someone for our wedding.
So it wasn't a binding wedding, but you could have a surprise marriage.
Yeah. Well, no, you could still
or surprise do it. Wedding celebration,
there's
whatever.
License. Like,
but to get
Vegas,
the license to be...
Only one of you has to go in. I got our license alone without her.
No, you didn't.
No, you,
I was
that
there.
Is not... You both have to
you
be there.
You got me into the courthouse.
No.
To pick it up afterwards, I'm sure. But when you guys have to go in together, sit down, show ID. You both have to
what
sign it.
What about Vegas shotgun weddings?
Yeah, what about, yeah, like
drive through weddings.
How do they
weddings?
Get around that?
Well, that's they probably have different laws.
Yeah, Nevada's laws maybe are different.
So we can hold somebody's surprise wedding in Vegas.
Yeah.
You can do that.
Just,
well,
like,
three of us
hey,
here
get
are married,
the car
so
and go
Andy
for a
Brian.
Trip.
I'm pretty sure that's a focus of a lot of sitcoms.
There is an episode of Just Shoot Me where they attended a mass wedding and accidentally were holding hands or something, so then they were married.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, the mass wedding idea is a weird one to me. I mean, I know people do it, but I don't get it. I don't understand the appeal, I guess.
I don't know.
But
it's quick and easy.
I guess, yeah.
Like all those people that got married. What was it, the Grammys, when they all got gay married? I forget who married them. Was it like Madonna or somebody?
I don't.
Some celebrity gay married like 30 couples on stage at like the Grammys or the Oscars or the Emmys or one of those things. I thought Katie was going to Google it, but nope, it was Candy Crush.
No, it was Candy Crush. She's now done with this conversation. It's Candy Crush time.
I really don't care what Madonna does with herself.
I don't think it was Madonna, though. Who the fuck was it? Now I'm going to have to Google it because Katie's not helpful.
I'm going to go Google
that
else.
Is true.
So, anyway.
Announcements.
That was a conversation ender.
Announcements.
Announcements.
Next week. I am so prepared to teach 20-some people how to do model stuff.
How to model.
Queen Latifah,
ah,
who, using her official standing as royalty, has the power to marry people, did a mass gay... Oh, it was because Macklemore was doing his performance of the It's Okay to Be Gay song, so she did the mass wedding during that. Anyway, next week.
Next week, I'm showing people at Pegasus Games how to assemble models properly.
The War Machine Weekend dry run?
Yeah, my dry run class... I don't know how I'm going to fill 4 hours. So there's going to be a lot of dancing.
You'll have a painting lab where you will hand out casters, and everybody will paint a caster per hour for 4 hours. If you have like 20 people, you'd tear through them real fast.
Yeah, they'll be torn through, though. That's the problem.
If they all paint as well as Charles Foster III, they'll look really good.
They'll be fine.
he's painting...
What he can do in an hour is...
You know, he's
astounding.
Three of my models for Who's the Boss.
I need to send him like my Abbey 2 or something. He would do a great job.
He's painting the Talion charter.
Oh,
three pirates, yeah. Yep. Sexy.
I've got a couple folks actually working on them right now. Brian Kerr is working on my circle. It was fucking amazing. I don't know if you saw any of the Facebook posts in the War Machine Madison crew.
Nope.
Well, wasn't he the one that won our contest?
No.
No,
that was somebody
else.
This
is Chris Suri.
This is local. Brian Kerr's he's got the ear gauges from
yeah. Right.
He doesn't have them in all the time, though.
No, but he is very tattooed and very pierced.
Yes.
I believe he has a forked tongue, too, or that could just be an optical illusion sometimes when he talks. I'm not sure,
I've never asked. He's a minister and
it's
required for his faith.
To have a forked tongue?
Yeah, and the tattoos.
Yeah.
His requirement, okay. As he told me.
He's like, faith-based?
I don't know that that's a...
I might be. I might
know
be mixing up him with somebody else. I know. I don't know.
Do you know what faith he is?
No, I wasn't paying attention. I just heard Brian say something ridiculous, and then
I think he's Lutheran. I think that's the religion that requires.
That's
the
only Lutheran.
Need the forked tongue.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't have a forked tongue.
Katie's paying more attention now because she's not playing Candy Crush anymore.
Well, she's playing Lords of Waterdeep. So.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, Brian Kerr is painting those. Marshall Wentworth is going to be painting my Cricks.
Nice.
I've got...
he's doing a good job on my Legion.
Rick Way is painting my Kator, and his stuff looks
I'm painting none of them.
No.
I'm not even allowed to look at them too closely for fear that something will get on them.
Do we have an Exelon Thexus painting updated? We have a week-by-week journal of the...
Oh, yeah, that's right.
No, I said he'll be done by War Machine.
Did you prime him?
Did you prime him?
You were going to prime him last weekend.
You had a direct week to prime him.
So let's talk about 7 Days of Progress.
He has seven days of dust on him.
Has it really? No, there's no dust on him because he's in a. Last time we had a podcast,
we do this every week.
Yeah, that's how that works.
Holy crap! It feels like it was a while ago.
Like a whole week, you might say.
No, like a year or something. I don't know.
Well, we don't. You guys haven't usually been around as much because you.
Yeah. Well, we were. Yeah,
your family stuff.
We've been pretty busy lately.
I was pretty busy.
I don't think Destiny.
I wasn't playing Destiny. I don't know what I did during the week, but I felt like I was work sucked.
I know it wasn't. It was Exelon Thexus.
Yeah, I did not do Exelon Thexus.
I just bought my third copy of Diablo 3.
Why would you buy three copies?
Because we had it on the PC originally, and then we got it for the PlayStation 3 because that way we could play it together. Because we only have the one computer, but we could hot seat PlayStation 3. And then they just released the version with the expansion pack. And so we had to buy that version. So we just bought that
today. Can't you buy just the expansion pack?
Well, and no. I mean, you could, but just... I mean, the expansion pack costs the same as... They're like, hey, you're buying the expansion kit pack. It comes with a free copy of Diablo 3.
Okay.
I mean, it literally is, here's $40 for the quote-unquote expansion, and it comes with the base game.
Okay.
Which the expansion for the PC costs the same amount as a regular game also. So
yeah,
sure.
Okay, it's just different for a console game because you need the disc to be...
It has to be a different disc,
Hypothetically, you could treat it as DLC, but that's a shitload of data to treat as DLC. So.
Okay, that makes sense.
So, Nathan, did you get any games in with the new theme force for that one guy?
I did. I got two.
I segued us very gently. Oh, hey, where's my magazine? Topic.
It's in my car.
Good job, Brian.
I had a forfeiture. Jeremy was scared, so he forfeited.
Slash got paged twice by word.
Counting it a forfeit. So I beat Jeremy.
I was there for it.
We're going to play best 2 out of 3 this coming
week. That's fine. I seriously think that my list will annihilate your list. I think it's a great matchup for me.
It's possible.
But, oh, it's such a great matchup for me. Anyway, so I had the forfeiture by Jeremy, who pretended to be Paige so that he didn't have to play. He's like, Katie, page me. I'm scared. That's what happened. I remember it specifically. Katie, back me up here.
Yep, that's pretty much it.
Right. So then I beat Troll Jeff. He almost got me an assassination because I was up on attrition, so I gave him a probably 60 to 70% assassination run, but it didn't pull through. I was just being stupid. I got overly aggressive and gave him the assassination run. Yeah. But I pulled through. And then
You weren't liking both of the games. Here's my cash.
No. It was like I was doing really well on attrition, and then I was like, well, I murdered his entire front line without activating Arcadius. So normally I activate Arcadius earlier and then crippling grasp the front line so I can murder it and Arcadius is still way back. Yeah. But I murder his front line and I'm like, cool, I'll have Arcadius move forward to crippling grasp his second line. And moving forward gets you killed.
Yeah.
But I survived, so that was good. And then my third game was Arcadius, pretty much all melee list with a couple of flamethrowers, whatever, against Saren Theme. And so that was very bad for me.
Ooh.
That was very, very bad for me. So yeah, I lost that one.
Who played the theme?
Lewis.
Well,
hey,
That should have balanced it out. Like a really, really good list. But
was he playing Saren with the Archangel still?
Not with Archangel, no.
Because he was trying that at one point.
No, it was dual angels. He had a few Nephilim in there for some reason. And
that's part of the. If you're playing theme, that's part of it.
I mean, he feeded, and I killed his shepherds and his cavalry models, the Hellions and stuff.
Yeah, the sorcerer.
You know, so I killed everything I could, and then, well, the big thing was I fucked up. I planned my whole turn on his feet turn. I was going to have Arcadius crippling grasp the angel that he was in melee with, because he charged something, and Arcadius was also in reach. But so I was like, all right, I'm going to crippling grasp that guy. So I did all my other models, and then I go, all right, I'm going to crippling grasp. And he's like, this token behind my angel that I couldn't see from where I was sitting
said
Banishing Ward. So that was really bad. Yeah. So I had Arcadius actually give up a free strike to that angel to walk over into melee with the other angel so I could crippling grasp that one. And then just I ended up dying to an angel because that's what happens.
One of the funniest things that I've ever had happen with Saren was if you're playing her with a sorceress in Hellion and you pop your feet and your opponent just assumes that that's a beast.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I've had that. Well, hilarious. When I was playing the full list, I had everything with wings. So, yeah, everyone thought that thing was just like another Seraph or, or just another beast.
Well, especially since one of his, the sorceress, is just like hanging off one of the wings because she's not glued on. So it really just does look like a Seraph.
Yeah. At that point, it does look like a Seraph. Yeah. Sidebar, the new Seraph, I'm excited to see what it looks like.
I'm 2 for 3.
Back. We are only 10 days away from the new book.
Wow.
And it's still not been spoiled yet.
It I know, the crazy. Fact that it hasn't been spoiled blows my mind. Like, I am are shocked you? That I have no idea what the Legion Beast pack
so that does. So that means it's a...
Maybe it's more than 10 days. You know, isn't it the 8th?
It's this month. No, it's not this month.
But technically next month.
Maybe it's still we can add, because it's next week is... I can't tell.
It's the 8th?
The first is next
that's
Wednesday.
10 days ago. That's not ago. That's 10 days from now.
Yeah, because Wednesday's the first.
I think it's the 8th. If it's the 8th, it's 10 days. Maybe it's week after 8th. But I thought it was October 8th.
Okay.
If it is October 8th, then that's it's already Wednesday. In distributors right now.
Yeah?
Yeah, so I'm expecting any day for someone to spoil it online.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I am very excited to see what my beast pack does and see if they work with Abby 2.
I want to know Helga's theme force.
I'd also like to see Abby's theme force.
It'd be nice to get verification of the minion battle engines.
Yeah.
I want to make all these lists with my score, but like, man, I could just, like, my brain knows these new things are coming out. I want to just, even though some of those models won't be out for like 6 months, just knowing I can start planning.
That beast pack actually sort of terrifies me for the Scorn one. What Scorn's going to do with that.
And we'll see what it does.
Yeah, well, we need full-on details of how the beast packs work. I mean, we don't even know 100% how they work. I know the theory, but the actual specific game mechanics. Because, you know...
They did explain how the Fury works. It's for the purposes of Fury, each model in the unit counts as +1 Fury for the unit that you can put on the unit. And the Fury all goes on the unit leader, and they go down in Fury stat as you lose them. Now, if you can like read,
what
if,
that's
they
what
die
I'm saying. Like, can you
like
even die? How does transferring work? Do they die individually from transfer damage?
It is the eighth.
It is the 8th, so 10 days.
And if they die from transfer damage, like if it's one below its Fury caps, you can transfer, and then the transfer kills one of them. Now is it capped, so you can't transfer to it anymore?
That is true. That is weird.
So
not only can I just want what the stats. I'm more intrigued with the actual.
Well, that
numbers.
Too. Yeah.
Well, mine are going to be Matt 6, maybe 5. They're going to be. How 11
and scoring
if there's 12 I'll be thrilled.
And I know scoring gets a new beast that hasn't been renounced yet. I'm not sure if everyone else is getting a beast, but so there's that new animus which could
I don't know anything about our character. I mean, beast
every animus could
I know it's
change.
Animus is not rage.
Yes.
Yeah,
that's what I know about my character beast.
Yeah, every animus can change how this play quite a bit.
Yeah, if there's a new, because it's a character, the odds of it having like a new unique animus is at least possibility there of an animus we've never seen, which is kind of a cool idea.
Yeah.
Maybe it like grants target model Isla Sight.
So it's good for Nephilim.
Yeah.
It is a Nephilim.
Your bolt throwers can finally get Gorman.
That's true.
That'd be pretty cool.
Hey, none of his other beasts can shoot Gorman.
No, that's not true. The Naga can.
Okay.
That's why the Naga straight replaces bolt throwers
in
all my lists.
The bolt thrower has Isla Sight. It can still shoot Gorman.
I thought some of the Nephilim didn't.
No.
All of your beasts have Isla Sight.
Really?
All of them.
I haven't touched Legion in like a year and a half. And
I haven't played a bolt thrower in a year. The Naga came out and I said, hey, model, you're going in forever not use pile.
Why you not have a bolt thrower?
Because the Naga is 1 point less amazing. And it's amazing.
The Naga is pretty ridiculous.
The Naga is pretty stupid. Crit poison on the ranged attack, crit shadow bind on the melee, range 10, pow 12, eyeless sight, non-elemental attack. And a Wraithbane.
So like, you could actually...
The Great Animus,
You could go back in time, and you can figure out the time that the Naga was released, and that was the time that I got out of Legion.
Yeah, you made a mistake.
I hope Scorn gets Wraithbane. They can use that.
Mm-mm.
I need Animus to just cast Purification.
Well,
you can have Wraithbane as an Animus. Yeah, I'd be okay with that, because that means you're not rushing.
Yeah, you can't rush Wraithbane, I suppose. That's true.
I can go far enough.
I mean, Molokarn still goes across the table, but Molokarn doesn't have built-in Pathfinder, though, does he?
Well, yes, he does, because it's Scorn.
Not if you were going to put Wraithbane on him.
Yeah, I guess so.
Mobility.
Yeah, mobility.
Hmm.
He'll figure it out.
He'll make it work.
It'll be Wraithbane plus Rush. It'll be Rush. It'll be, you know,
yes. Pathfinder. Target model gains +3 speed, Pathfinder, immunity to knockdown, and blessed. One cost. on his
range,
pack.
Range 10.
You forgot Floyd.
No, all animi are range 6. It's a consistent thing.
Is it?
Yeah.
Always?
Okay. All animi are range 6.
Yeah. But also
or self
for
control.
Immune to melee attacks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you need a flying ball of corn.
Mm-hmm. No, they didn't. Seems legit.
You do not need flight.
Too legit?
To quit?
Hey, hey!
Oh, my God. But you love the Arcadius theme force is the moral of the story that we yes. started on forever
hey,
ago.
Hey, 2 for 3. It beat is. You and Jeff, and it
did
lost to Lewis.
Beat me.
Concession is a win. I haven't told you. I'm counting this as a concession. You said, yes, I agree with that.
You did. That's
that
true.
Is truth.
That's the thing that happened. I said, that's fine. I'll just beat you 2 out of 3 next week.
That's my announcement.
Yay. Cool.
Do we have anything else? Can we do Katie's Corner while we think of things?
Yeah, Katie has a corner.
Katie has a corner.
Right. Katie's got a corner all prepared for us.
I was told I would be nudged shortly before this started.
Nudge, nudge. So one thing I will say that we actually got, I assume you guys saw some posts from people. We were not letting Katie talk, and we were being interrupty last time, apparently.
Well, except the previous Katie's Corners were supposed to be a noob's viewing on War Machine, and then we didn't want the new players just smashing her down. These Katie Corners are almost more just a conversation about.
And their point was not that they don't care what we think, it's that they care what Katie thinks, and then we may talk.
So it needs to be a Katie review of a game.
We were supposed to talk more. I misread them.
I don't know. I remember I was confused by the comment because I was not really with it, and I thought it made a very bad analysis of the game in general. You should play Concordia, it's good.
What the hell is Concordia?
Cornucopia.
Oh, yeah, that game's legit.
It's called Concordia.
Hey, hey.
All right, so this week I'm going to talk about Caverna.
Hey, hey.
Caverna is a lot like a pretty terrible game, Agricola, only whereas Agricola is how can I screw over my opponents the most, Caverna is how do I play the game and actually get somewhere in it. But it's very similar in that there are different phases in the game, and during each phase, you're building up either your fields or your mines, because you're building your homes inside mines, because you're dwarves, of course. And so you want to make sure that you get enough food and that you get animals and that you're getting the most victory points at the end of the game. And after every phase, you have to feed your people or not feed, depending on how the phase. And then there are 3 phases near the end of the game where it could be don't harvest, don't feed, etc. And so overall, it's a very fun game. Make babies early. It's very important.
It's a good life lesson,
life too, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know that that's true. You should not make babies early. Wait on that a little bit. That's my... Like, I don't know how to explain the game because you're building up your resources in order to get victory points.
It's worker placement.
It's worker placement, yeah. Sort of. But you can also go to battle. You can,
Well, even that's worker placement. It's just the action has a second kind of phase you enter.
Yeah. And the battle is kind of cool because if you get your guys high enough, then you can make that action space like 3 or 4 different spaces, and it's really cool. I think there's one that goes up to 5 different.
4.
4 is the highest. Ryan's played a lot more, but I really, really hated Agricola. I thought it was the worst game ever, and that Tim was a terrible person for playing it and liking it so much. But
I hope Tim listens to this podcast.
He does not. He'll listen to it if I tell him if it's not talking about War Machine or if we have a... Like, he listened to our board game episode.
Okay, that makes sense.
But it's a really fun game. I would highly recommend it. So for the ratings, for the skill level, it's a 4. It's very high skill level. You have to know... you have to be able to have a plan and execute it. It's not as reactive as a lot of other games are. Like, Lords of Waterdeep, I would say, is reactive worker placement. This is very... planned out. It's similar to Kalis in that way. And you also have to know, like, am I going to focus on sheep? Am I going to focus on food? Am I going to focus on X in order to get up? So with that, too, strategy is also a 4. It's a very high up there. Replayability, I put a 3.5. If you're going to play this game, play it twice in a row. Assuming you have time, because it does take a while to set up. I think that you can play this game twice in a row. I don't know that you can play it more than that.
In a day.
You'd have to be a really hardcore Caverna fan.
You'd have to be like, hey guys, let's have a Caverna day. And you'd all go there and, like, you know, because each game probably takes 2 hours-ish.
About a 2-hour game.
So, yeah. You know, I mean, you could play it 3 or 4 times if you were just having, this Saturday, the 4 of us are just going to play a fuckload of Caverna.
And the game changes whether you go 4 or there's different tiles.
I like how you just immediately excluded me from that. The 4 of us.
Well, let me say
there was 4 hypothetical people. I was.
Have you even played Caverna?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I had no idea what I was doing, and I lost by 2 points because I've played that other one. Agricola. Yeah, I played Agricola.
Yeah, if you have played, yeah.
Well, Agricola. What happened is, what's hilarious is that my experience is almost the reverse of what you're explaining, which is, I was way playing it weird, yeah. But it was, I almost never battled. I just did it once, like at the end, because it was an open space and it did what I needed to do. But I was very reactive because I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing. Hey, that space has like a million animals on it. Boom. Now I have a million animals. And so at the end of the game, I was just like, I had 8 of every animal, and that was just where I got all my points from.
It is a ton of points.
I will say that I don't think that the fighting is as important. I think it's a really cool aspect, but the first time I played, I came in second, and I didn't fight at all. And the second time, I fought quite a bit. The most important thing is being able to get that baby early so you get an additional action. That is the key.
And there is one thing. The last time we played it, I noticed, because I really like the combat aspect, so I've played the combat before, but this last time, everyone else got a weapon before me. And one thing, if there's one thing I've learned, it's that if you're the only one who doesn't have a weapon, don't worry about raiding.
Well,
there's actually benefits to being the only one who doesn't care about the battle spots.
Because you'll go to other spots.
Because
the thing is, battle spots, like the raiding, it's disguised. It's not as complicated as it looks. All it really is, each of those spots, they're wild cards, all they are. They're just go here and pick an action from this list of actions, and that list just changes depending on how high ranked your dwarf is.
Right.
So it's not like a different game mechanic. It's wild spots that the more you use them, the better your choices on that wild spot are. So depending on what your plan is, you don't like, it's like, oh, I better go battle. But if the thing you want is available as an action somewhere else, you can just go there.
Well, the funny thing, go ahead.
I was going to say, the reason that I found that battling was a cool aspect is because since they are wild cards, I can do things that have nothing to do with one another. Like, usually how it's set up is you can plant a field and then plant vegetables. Like, they're two very highly correlated actions. But if I want to plant a vegetable and also dig out a cavern, then I can do that if I go to the battle.
Oh, the battling's a great mechanic. It's the unique mechanic to this versus Agricola or most other Not a lot of worker placement games have a wild, much less a wild where each player is allowed to treat it as different wilds.
Yeah.
And not only each player, but each worker of each player treats it as different wilds, which is the interesting mechanic.
To me, the big difference between this and Agricola is, A, there's more spots that give the same thing, so you get the less screwage over. To Agricola, the key mechanic in Agricola is you have cards.
Did you do that on purpose?
No, that wasn't on purpose.
Oh, you son of a bitch.
That was not. In Agricola, you have minor improvements and you have occupations, which is actually the coolest part of Agricola. In Caverna, you have buildings. In Caverna, there's like 55 to 60 buildings you can make, but there's no occupations or minor improvements. There, even if you look at the rulebook for Caverna, it's like 70%. It's as if you know how to play Agricola, just skip to page like 80 or 8 or go to page 18. Just like skip the first 18 pages and just here are the one page of differences, and then here's how questing works.
Yeah.
Now, and these are rubies because rubies are new too.
The buildings just being flat out on the table, all available from the start to everybody. That's one of my least favorite things in Agricola. And it's fixed somewhat if you do a drafting system. Mm-hmm. But even then, depending on how that goes, like if somebody starts with, a worker of some kind and then the town well and then this oven or whatever, they're like, oh, I have these three cards. I literally can't lose this game. It's unfortunate when that breaks Agricola. It's random deal, which is how technically you're supposed to play Agricola, that can just happen. I mean, you can just be fucked from the start or I get to win from the start.
Yeah. Caverna is a great game.
I've played it at 3 players, 4 players, and 5 players, and I've had fun at every single level. And there's different actions based on which number of players you play it. Because you have different tiles that either are only in certain games. So the game is very different based on the number of players, but it's balanced very well. I think you can go to like 7. And I think if I would only play it at like 6 or more if everyone knew how to play it and played it a lot. I wouldn't want to play it with new people at that level. But
it would
think
take
if
a very long time.
I think
you'd actually get frustrated waiting for that many for new people.
I think if everyone would have played, it would still be very fast at 6 people. I bet you could do it in 5 people in under 2 hours, probably even an hour and a half if everyone would.
If everyone knew
if you know what you're doing. Yeah.
Well, the other thing I would say about this one is once you pick a strategy, you kind of have to throw yourself into that strategy. Like Jeremy was saying, if you don't raid, then don't raid because there are buildings that support not raiding.
Yeah, like I got 8 victory points just because I didn't have any armed dwarves.
So I
got this cheap building that was just 8 points. Hey, that's amazing. Sure.
I don't think that you can go into it and be kind of like a jack of all trades and do well. I think you'll do okay, but you'll get, like 10 or 15 points less than the person first who committed, or more, depending on how...
Sorry. I interrupted you to apologize for interrupting, because you still had 2 categories, and we already opened this all off.
Oh, man.
So, fun. I put a 3.5. I think it's a very fun game. I don't think... So the difference between like this and like Ladies and Gentlemen is as I'm playing Ladies and Gentlemen, I know that I'm having fun at this very moment. And when I'm playing Caverna, like I'm so busy concentrating on what I need to do and looking at what other people do. I'm using my brain muscles more. And so I don't realize I'm having fun until after I finished playing and I was like, oh, that was fun kind of a thing. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense.
No, that's valid.
So I put a 3.5 because it is still very fun. And like as far as in-depth strategy games go, I think it's one of the more fun games.
Yeah.
But I don't think that it's one of those games where you're like, this is so much fun, and why don't we do this more often? And so that's why I gave it a 3.5. So it's above average on fun. And then it's not a co-op game in any way whatsoever.
Well, I suppose you could throw the game to someone else, but you don't get any benefit for it.
That's not a co-op.
That's not co-op. I don't think there's as much game or king-making in this game. Like,
no, because there's no resource trading or anything.
Yeah,
no.
I can't see a way to king-make someone unless you are like, oh, well, I know that Nathan needs a baby, and so I'm not going to put my guy there.
Or I know Nathan needs a baby. Screw him.
Well, I mean, that's how our gaming group plays. Is
yeah. Well, and if Nathan is winning, there's nothing wrong with doing that.
Right.
No. But as far as, like, it's hard to do a team game in something that's non-co-op.
But some spots you can't go to. If it's something you can't go to the make a baby spot. If the spot's to just make a baby and you can't legally make a baby, you can't even go to that spot. So, I mean, in some ways you can't even screw someone over because you have to be
because you have to be physically able to do the
action. Certain spots have requirements to use.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really like it. I think it's a really good game. I think it improves Agricola in every way. I think that if you own Agricola, you should just throw it in the trash, which is something you should have done anyway, and then go out and buy Caverna. It's a little bit expensive, if I remember correctly.
It's $100. It's $100. This month's Game Trader magazine came out. It's at your local game store. They have a whole new board for Agricola.
Yeah, I saw that.
There's like a...
Caverna.
I got like 6 new buildings.
There's a house that takes up 2 squares that houses like 4 dwarfs.
It's all. It's literally... this. You now can have all of your dwarfs.
Yes. But it's worth only one,
but it's worth one victory.
So it's actually.
So the other thing that I would highly recommend if you're going to do this is I think one disadvantage to this game because there are so many buildings and because they are out all at the same time and available to everyone is I know that I tend to buy the buildings that are right next to me because I can see them and I can read them and I can think about them. Whereas the buildings that are sitting, you know, across the table from me next to Brian, I'm just not going to look at those unless I look at the ones next to me and I'm like, all of these suck. I need something else. So I would highly suggest you go down to your local Office Max and you print out a list of the buildings and what they do so that you have a handy-dandy reference. Because if you're going to spend $100 on a game, spend the extra $20 to make it.
Yeah, Nathan, get on the printouts.
I can do that. What is nice is that, and I checked this because I've only played it once and I had never played it before, but I looked at this and they were nice enough to do this, is when the buildings were all set out and we were setting up the game, I looked and indeed they were grouped already. Like, yep. They have setup boards. Like, all of the ones on this board are for housing animals and dwarves. All the ones on this board are victory points at the end of the game. Yep. All the ones on this board give me resources and all this one. And then this board is all weird shit.
Yes.
So I was like, okay, good. So I won't look any deeper than that because that's enough info for newbie Nathan. Because if I tried to memorize all 20 buildings that were available, I would have just been
fucked. And you play the basic game. Me and Katie and Jeremy once played the other game. We flipped the tiles over game. And then it doubles the number of buildings.
Yeah, twice as many buildings.
Ridiculous.
But they're still probably grouped by theme. And so you can still do that. Like, I mean, you'd still want kind of a theory, but I mean, for the first 2/3 of the game, that was enough info.
Oh,
and it was only at the end that I'm like, all right, late game victory points. I'm like, oh, this one gives me an extra point per cow, and I currently have 30 cows. I think I want to buy that one.
Right. Also, P.S. If you have 30 cows, you win the game.
I think I had like 18 cows at the end or something.
Holy
like that.
Crap.
That was all I had was fucking cows. I had like two, I have, because I had like a triple, how many cows can you fit? It would ever max a double field with a stable.
A double with a stable is 8.
That's only 8?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe I had 18 animals, but 8 of them were cows.
You had 2 types of 2, or 8.
Oh, yeah, I had 8 sheep and 8 cows, and I had the building for each of them.
Yeah.
And then I also had, whatever. Point is, I had a fuck ton of animals.
Slaughtering Cave is amazing.
Slaughtering Cave is such a good building.
Yeah, slaughtering cave and the milking cavern, that's what it was.
What I don't like about this game, because on a fundamental level, it bothers me, is that if you have a pair, they can breed one new animal. But if you have 2 pair, they still only breed one new animal. And I don't understand that because is there only like one female amongst a bunch of men?
The others just like to watch.
it just bothers me. That. I feel like I should be able to.
The multiplier, I think it's just game mechanic wise.
No, I know it's a game mechanic, but it's one of those things that breaks out of the logic for me. Because the rest of it I feel like is very logical. Like you plant pumpkins, a pumpkin comes up. That makes sense.
All of the animals are very alpha couple oriented like wolves are. Mm-hmm. So the alpha male and alpha female pig have a baby, and then the gamma male and gamma female pig have a baby, but the alpha male and alpha female pig eat and kill and eat their baby because they're not allowed to have babies, only they are.
Okay.
That makes sense for you now?
That makes perfect sense for
there
me.
There we go.
And sheep are known to be very violent.
Sheep and cows.
Yes.
So black there sheep. You go. That's what it is. It's only the dominant cows are allowed to have children. The rest are forced into impotent subserviency.
Okay. All right. But anyway, so the recommendation is to buy Caverna, throw out Agricola.
I think I could back that up. I would agree with that.
Or at least just throw all out Agricola if you can't afford Caverna right now.
Yeah, if you can't afford Caverna, just to throw away Agricola.
Yeah, I imagine that they're going to come out with a iPad or tablet version of Caverna at some point because they have one for Agricola.
And if you have neither, just never bother buying Agricola. Also I mean, true. Joking aside, like that is definitely true. Like Caverna just trumps Agricola.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, if you already own Agricola, maybe you're allowed to keep it. Just don't tell Katie that you did.
Well, I'm trying to think of a comparison where something just better comes along. It'd be like if you're like, I'm going to own this VCR, even though there's a PS4 out there, because VCR is something that I'm used to playing with.
It's not even that. It would be more straight line.
Play?
It would be more.
It would be like a DVD player versus a PlayStation. Yeah,
we're going to go DVD player.
It's like player. A VCR. Or
a PlayStation doesn't play video cassette tapes, though, is my point.
Because who would want to?
I'm just saying it's so far behind technologically.
All right.
That even though it's like got the same mechanic that it works with your
no,
TV.
No, you know what it is, Katie? It's like when we have a guest stay at our house and they open the VHS cassette case that says on it Indiana Jones and the Raiders of the Lost Ark. And then inside of it is a movie without any label on it. And when you put it in your VCR, it plays Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom.
That made me so mad. Okay, here's a story that I, why it's actually a story. So we went to an estate sale, which wasn't actually an estate sale, by the way. It was just some lady selling her shit, yeah. Which is fine.
You should have strangled her to death to make an honest woman out of her.
Yeah!
Right? So call it a garage sale, like just because you're getting rid of most of your stuff because you're moving, or moving sale would also be good. Because here's the thing, dead people don't care how much their stuff is actually worth. They just like the relatives who remains just want it gone. They just want all the stuff gone. So you can haggle and you can get
that's
good
why estate
prices.
Sales are amazing.
That's why they're amazing. Like the good stuff is going for sale, whereas a moving sale, all your good stuff is staying with you, and you're also like, I would like more money than whatever this shitty thing that I own is worth. That's what happens at a moving sale. It's very different. So anyway, I go into this lady's moving sale / estate sale, and she has Indiana Jones, Raiders of the Last Ark, and I'm like, cool, but it was $2, which I felt was too much for VHS, because this was in, like, 2013, by the way. I wanted to pay $1, and so I was like, can I have both Raiders of the Lost Ark and 10 Things I Hate About You for $2? And she was like, no, or something like that. And she was like, no, and I was like, she was like, that'd be $4. And I was like, well, fuck you. I really just want Raiders of the Lost Ark, but I'll pay the $2 because where else am I going to find this on VHS? And then I get home, and it's just like a taped over version from the TV, from like TBS showing of not even Raiders of the Lost Ark, just an Indiana Jones movie. And I was very, very upset.
Temple of Doom. And the best part is, so we have this now, right? We own it. And there's a VHS player and a TV in our guest bedroom. And so we just put it in there, along with like the three other VHSs we randomly own, because why not? And we've had two different people stay in that room. And the first thing they do when they stay in that room is they're like, oh my God, it's Indiana Jones and Raiders of the Lost Ark. And they pop in the cassette and we go to bed. And like 15 minutes later, after they figure out how to get a VCR working, because it's been forever, right? We hear, son of a bitch, from the guest room. And every time it's hilarious.
On a bright note, we have the Princess Bride in there as well, so that should console them a little
bit. Of all the unlabeled home-taped things to find in an estate sale VHS package, though, that's one of the less terrifying ones.
That is true.
It could have
been
a porno.
An old-lady porno.
You would not want this lady either. As I recall, she was rather rotund.
Hey, don't kink shame. You do not know what I'm into. Don't kink shame.
You might like that.
That's fine.
I might like spherical waspy bitches.
Old wasp. Let's remind old. She was like
in
her 70s.
She should have died.
Maybe later on that day it was an estate sale. Yeah.
My mom and I like to go garage sailing, and we went one time to these people, and like these were the parents of the kids at the camp across the lake in the 80s lovable loser camp stories, yeah. You know. And so like we go and it's oh like garage sale, and we go to like 4 or 5, and then there's another, we go up and we park and we go up there and we go and there's like a rug like draped over thing, and we're like, oh, that's a neat throw rug, how much? He's like, oh, that throw rug is $1,700. We're like, bye. Turn around and walk the fuck away. It's like, oh, it's a garage sale with Persian tapestries in it.
Like, I'll give you 60 cents for it.
Will you take a dollar?
Anywho.
You have to engage it. When somebody wants to try to sell you something for $700 in a garage sale, you need to follow up something.
Yeah. It's like, I'll give you 50 cents.
Maybe we haggle from there?
You should have said 1,700 pennies? Sold.
Yes.
But anyway, so that's our Indiana Jones. So that's what the difference between Agricola and Caverna is like.
Now I understand. No, thank you.
If I'm understanding this correctly, it was the actual outer shell casing for Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Like you rented a movie and it had, and it was the cardboard, like the cardboard they used to put VHSs in.
The slide-in cardboard.
That took fucking effort, though.
Yeah.
No. That took effort for the person to make that recording.
They might have owned Raiders of the Lost Ark,
and they probably just got switched. So whoever bought Temple of Doom is probably like, fuck!
No, they're like, thank God.
The Temple of Doom would have been probably...
Yeah, like, so Raiders of the Lost Ark is in just the generic sleeve the VHS came in, and Temple of Doom was in the store-bought Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yeah, I think that's probably what happened.
Because they owned... Yeah.
Or, for all I know, it was in the 10... What I told Katie, and this is what's funny to me, is in my mind, I like to think Raiders of the Lost Ark was in the 10 Things I Hate About You box, which means if she'd actually gotten the deal, she would have actually gotten the movie. That's what I like to think
happened. If I was in a mood to watch Things I Hate About You, I would actually be excited. I mean, I'd be happy for Raiders of the Lost Ark, but those are two different mood movies.
Yeah,
they're not the same...
Well, good for you. I actually own 10 Things I Hate About You on VHS as well. You guys, anyone should stay at our house and stay in this room. It's amazing. It's like a throwback to the 80s.
It is like a throwback to the
80s. We got
the 80s
TV. We've got like the dresser that you had when you were a kid in there. We've got a shitty bed. It's fantastic.
I think it's probably closer to the 90s, though.
Well, the 10 Things I Hate About You is anachronistic.
Yes.
Yeah, true.
But Katie also thinks the 90s would be
timeless.
I'll call it timeless.
Do you have a mini fridge with Ecto Cooler High C?
We have a mini fridge, and if you have that, then we can put
They don't make Ecto Cooler anymore.
You'll be able to put Surge in it though soon.
It's true. Surge.
Do you keep the mini fridge behind the couch?
Nobody else will get
that. You know what I really liked is the Kool-Aid things that you only got like a drink out of that were just like Kool-Aid. What are those called?
The wax bottles.
The shooters?
The wax bottles? Mm-hmm. Where you actually like bite the top off and
No, they came in wax bottles. It was more than a drink. It was like three drinks.
Where you twisted the top off? But they were plastic bottles.
Yeah, the plastic Kool-Aids, yeah.
Yeah. I forget what the Kool-Aid ones were called, but there was other brands as well that I also forget what they were called.
Yeah.
I enjoyed those, except for you need like 10 of them in order to get like your...
Oh, you'd slam those fuckers.
So for your guest bedroom, instead of them sleeping like PJs, you'd keep them like denim jackets?
You know what you can still get like at Aldi's and stuff?
Wait a minute. So you were sitting there thinking of that joke.
Yeah. I was waiting my turn. I was like, you know, I'm not going to interrupt.
Oh.
I have a denim jacket joke.
Hey, how often can you throw a denim jacket joke out there?
He's been waiting 88 episodes to make a denim jacket joke.
I'm done.
The little plastic barrels with the foil tops that are full of shitty punch. You can still get those.
Really?
What? They had them at Costco. Yep. I was in Costco getting drinks for the wedding, and they had those fuckers. I'm like, oh my God!
Well, now I know.
Because as a kid, I'd play G.I. Joe and pretend those, like, after I drank them, because those little barrels, they looked like hand grenades.
Yeah.
Gatorades?
That's what I said, grenades.
Okay. Yeah, I'd pretend they were hand grenades playing G.I. Joe. It was great. I'd pretend they were Gatorades, too.
Grumble.
What?
Brian and I decided that was the Zappity Grumbles for the day.
We should probably hurry up with those.
Do we have anything else anybody was going to talk about this week?
No. Right. Not a damn thing.
Not a darn thing.
All right. That was obvious at the beginning.
I want to put out there that even though I held the team back, and they'll all tell you I held the team back, a 6-man strike group with myself in it did beat the Tower of Glass today, which was very exciting.
Destiny update.
If you play Destiny, yeah.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you don't care.
I want to say I'm thrilled. Hey, I've upgraded from bottom of the barrel pathetic to somewhat mediocre in PvP.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I can actually kill people now, and I can break even more than not, and I get ahead sometimes.
And you're up to level 26 on your gear. I helped with that a little bit. Oh, 27. You're tied with me.
I played for the first time PvP, and I was strangely happy with my progress.
Control
in
or
there.
Clash?
What? Okay. I don't know. Whatever one that we had to go into flags and then take over flags.
The zones,
A, B,
control.
And C and,
control, yeah.
Yeah. That was a lot of fun.
Watching,
I liked how the fact where I could actually go up to like a 26 and kill him.
Yeah.
Yes. The level balancing in PvP is very nice.
Yeah. Where it was just more just playing to have fun. Yeah. That was fun.
If you watch your radar, you can do amazing things. That's what I learned in
yeah,
PvP.
Yeah, Brian and I were okay, so Brian's at this point a level 25 and him and I are doing a mission together and we're playing along and he mentions, "Hey, you know what I discovered is there's the radar." And it like shows you where the enemies are shooting you from.
Oh, I meant for PvP. I never looked at PvP. I always use it. I use it for like PvE, but I just yeah.
And so he mentioned on. As like a top level geared player that like he unlocked this skill that everyone else got it for free at level 1. Brian unlocked it at level 25.
And then I started doing good.
Well, he started doing well.
No, he started doing good. Like he was rescuing puppies and
yeah.
stuff.
Oh. Yeah,
because he knew where the bad guys were.
Yeah.
You doing Twitter? Or
you
Facebook?
Didn't respond to my Snapchat.
I can do either one.
I don't like Snapchat. By the way, I had to download Snap Save instead of Snap because Snapchat is like for people with ADD. You send someone a picture. Mm-hmm. And they look at it, and it goes away in like 3 seconds.
Yeah, it's that way so that it doesn't get leaked to the Fappening 4.
But the
that's
thing
how
is,
Snapchat
is. But the thing is, so then I downloaded a program called SnapSave. I open up everything, it's SnapSave, and it saves every picture.
What?
That's exactly the opposite of what Snapchat's supposed to allow you to do.
I can't Snapchat you anymore, Brian.
What are you Snapchatting him?
Doesn't matter. So before...
Jeremy's usually involved.
Oh, I'm sorry. Don't save those.
I have a collage. Actually, I don't... But the thing is, I was getting Snapchats from your wedding. I got a lot of nice pictures, but then I was opening them originally in Snapchat. And I'm like, oh, I should check it. I can look at this again. I look at it, and I'm like, oh, it's gone. Everything's gone. All these nice wedding pictures
well,
I got.
The best thing was, when Katie discovered Snapchat, she didn't know you could change the timer. So everything she sent had a 3-second
yeah,
timer.
Yeah, I was like, oh, my God.
And so, like, I was like, you know, you can set that to, like, a 10-second timer so people can actually, like, see and enjoy the pictures. He's like, no, it's funnier this way.
Hence, Snap Save.
And then send him things to take, like, holy shit, look at this!
Yeah.
And have just a perfectly normal picture.
Yeah.
So they have 3 seconds to try to find what's wrong with the picture.
What? This sounds like a completely... Is this an app?
Yes. Yeah. Snapchat is a chat program. Where you can send pictures and stuff, and then, yeah, see the timer ticking down. 3, 2, 1, and I can never see that picture of that pick hidden again.
My coworkers' kids love it.
That's so people use it. Yeah.
Stupid.
Well, you send somebody a dick pic, and it's gone. Yeah. Like for people who do
except
that, it's
take,
a safety measure.
You can. Yeah. It's except for you can take a picture. You can. Take a
screenshot your phone,
and so you can technically save it if you're like really on the ball.
Or they said open it with
balls.
Open a Snap Save
or balls.
Ah.
Like a penis has. My update is that I'm winning my division in Blood Bowl.
Nice.
Yay. And I actually, hey. I forgot you could spend money in Blood Bowl. So we're 6 weeks in, and like I haven't bought a reroll. I haven't bought backup players. So I get like 2 players stunned, and I'm down like 9 guys to 12. And I'm like, I'm just getting, and I'm still winning. So just because for once in my life, I'm having amazing dice luck.
Nice.
Like my Beast of Nurgle successfully dodged while carrying the ball.
So that's now, but now your next team, you're going to have a full roster. With
well, yeah. So like this week, I spent all my money. And so my team value went from 1150 to 1490. Like just poof. And the divisions, they have one division in our league that's all the fast teams and one division that's all the beefy teams. And apparently that's bad for orcs because we have 2 orc teams in the beefy division and neither of them has a win.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Because they're the weakest of the beaters.
Well, that, but they don't take damage like
right.
All the other teams do. All the other teams are just like, I lost like 2 mummies.
Yeah.
I lost like a ton of horrible things. I don't like, I like it mixed.
Yeah, yeah, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if it was just random luck or if he did it on purpose that it's like this, but it's not good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Zappity.
Gumball. All
right, so let's go with these real quick. Do any of you play against the new Denny Theme Force, Body and Soul, Tier 4? Is it good or in practice? Zappity Gumball.
I will play it soon now that I have enough drugs.
Yeah, I have not faced it. I have not seen it in person, sadly.
I've not seen it on the table.
Travis brought it out a few times, but it was Travis playing it, so I didn't really get a vibe off it.
Travis just likes, I like internet lists, and then...
He likes Theme Forces in general, to be fair.
Yeah, he does, but I mean, he usually plops down a Theme Force
It's kind of what we were going to talk about before, is like the usage of internet lists in, mm-hmm. in that. He gets a list, but he doesn't know how to play it.
Well, he's got such faction ADD that he doesn't get a lot of practice in with any particular thing.
I will say he does.
That's why I keep telling him. He's like, what should I bring to this next tournament? I'm like, well, Travis, are you asking this as want to be competitive or as Travis? Because my answer to the first of those people is always, for the love of God, bring your cricks. Because
yes.
if he would stick with cricks for a solid year, he'd be really good.
He's really good.
But instead he brings random, I'm going to bring this Scorn list this time because I'm feeling like bringing Scorn or whatever.
He has a really nice, different Saren list that's actually different from the internet list.
He does.
And it's really annoying. And I'm glad no one else copies his list. Because of all the Saren cookie cutter lists I face, his list is the most annoying.
I thought his Saren was like Andy's.
Nope, it's subtly different, and it's not relevant. How?
Okay,
Zaffity.
Crumble. It's a secret.
Chocolate good.
Keep it secret. Keep
chocolate
it safe.
Good.
Chocolate good.
Chocolate good.
My favorite type of Labrador Retriever.
Awesome. We have chocolate coming in to us from Germany. I'll have it in the mail hopefully this week, and I'll bring it for us to eat on air next week.
Yes.
Yay. Grumble.
What class do you want to play in Borderlands 2 pre-sequel? Tim says.
I'm going to play Wilhelm.
Oh, you're going to Wilhelm.
Well, Wilhelm, because he has the guys who fly around. It's kind of like turrets.
It is like the turrets, yeah.
I like to play the assist class, a dude with like the pet class.
I will. It's a toss-up for me between Claptrap and Nisha.
I thought we were all going to fight over Claptrap, but yeah.
I want to be the shiny unicorn butt.
You can be, yes, you can be you Butt can Stallion.
Butt Stallion.
Butt
Stallion doesn't exist yet, though.
What?
In this,
oh yeah,
this
well, one,
this is a pre.
You don't know. he might not own Butt Stallion yet, but Butt Stallion exists.
It's as a little cult.
Yeah. Well, we don't know how long diamond unicorns live. That's Butt true. Stallion could be ageless.
Could be. That's possible. I'm gonna play a warlock in Borderlands 2.
There's not been a time without Butt Stallion.
I'm probably gonna play Athena, or if nobody else grabs it, somebody has to be Claptrap, so I'll be Claptrap. Like, and that's not an oh, I guess I have to be. Like, I'd totally play Claptrap, but
yeah, they all look amazing.
I always play chicks in general, and Athena. I think most people aren't gonna want to play as her, so I'll play as her.
I like Nisha so far, but I think I agree with your idea that we should do at least an alt run of just all four Claptraps.
Yeah, all four. Well, like when we had the all Necromancers run, that was hilarious.
I didn't do that, but
there's a lot of people who are going to be playing with us on the PC. We're going to have to it'll be interesting because I know a lot of people that are listeners who want to play with us on the.
What's the multiplayer cap at for Borderlands?
Probably four.
It's four, but I'm assuming
it's
enough people.
It's at a time. I mean, we're going to with how many people we're going to have playing. I think that we're all going to have multiple characters, and it's like, oh, so and so's on. I need my level 16. So and so's on. I need my level 38, and so on.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll definitely just be playing a warlock.
I'm still going to be trying to do an hour.
Is that
and a half
is that a joke?
It's a Destiny class.
Oh, okay. Good for you.
Because I'm not going to play Borderlands 2. This pre-sequel.
I understood the joke.
All right. He just kept saying it, and I kept not caring, but I felt I should validate that he was trying to make a joke.
Could. He can jump in and then say, guys, I'm dying over here. And I'm like, oh, great. Thanks, Jeremy.
No, what I'm going to do
is. That's how you know where the monsters are.
He needs
are.
The I got this, guys.
I'm going to record that, like basically dialogue. Hey, guys, I got this. Don't worry about it. Oh, I died. Can you guys come res me? And I'm going to just like hide it in your houses, and I'm going to trigger it remotely when I know you're playing.
Yeah.
We hear it all the time when we're playing.
It's your ringtone.
It's forever seared into my ears.
We were playing.
When you guys were playing, I could hear you just. Oh, like, yeah. I got this.
That's part of why I'm guys, not playing the pre-sequel, is I just didn't get Borderlands. I was bad at it.
We were playing a 3-player game on the 4-player difficulty level with a corpse.
Hey, every once in a while I would rez and then charge the enemy.
Every time I die in Destiny, I'm like, why am I not in fight for your life mode, goddammit?
Yeah. That is true. I do miss that.
That has caused my death so many times in Destiny. It's like I go charging into rooms like, oh, I got a couple of these guys almost dead. I'll get my second res off of one of them.
Oh, yeah.
Like, nope, that didn't happen. I did.
And you do that strategically. Like, you leave one chump at, like, a sliver of health. You're like, all right, you're my safety net. Yeah. And then you just murder everybody. You're like, ah, fuck, I'm in fight for life. Where'd Steve go? I'm up.
Nope, that doesn't happen.
Even on purpose, you're like, I'm half dead. I think I'll get myself killed so I can res up after killing that chump.
Yeah.
That was good. That has caused my death so many times in Destiny.
Katie says Zappity.
Zappity.
Trouble. Favorite chocolate candy?
Reese's
peanut butter.
Reasons.
Reasons are delicious.
Reasons are amazing.
Mm. I'm gonna stick with Reese's.
Tic Tac.
Said Reese's peanut butter cup, which is wrong.
Why is that?
Reese's peanut butter eggs or Reese's peanut butter Christmas trees or thus. Any holiday shape.
The Christmas tree, the Halloween one, the eggs are amazing.
The eggs are the best. Halloween's are a close second, but any holiday shape is better than the cup.
No, I like the small cups. I don't like the big cups.
The small cups are deadly because I can only eat them at 100 at a time.
The unwrapped. No, you're talking the unwrapped ones. Not the mini, the small.
The small one.
She likes the ones that are like a pain in the ass and take an hour to unwrap.
So that's their portion control, is you burn calories trying to unwrap that fucker, and half the cup sticks to the wrapper anyway.
Oh, you just lick it up.
That's my favorite.
I know, like a filthy animal.
Those super minis are deadly. I can't, if someone opens a bag, I have to flee the room as fast as I can.
Because those are like Reese's Pieces without the candy coating.
It's just crack.
Yeah, it's pretty ridiculously good.
It's just crack.
I'm going to have to go with Reasons.
Yeah.
I'm going to follow that up. Oh, no, I know what it is. You know the caramel candy bars that they sell for like fundraisers?
Yeah. Those are tasty.
Those are delicious, and you can't get them anywhere else.
No. Closest you can get is Caramello, which isn't quite the same thing.
Not quite.
No.
You're correct.
Or thank Rolos. You.
Yeah, I like to freeze my Rolos.
Yes.
I like Rolos.
You and me are chocolate bros. Come on. We'll just have a Reasons and Frozen Rolos party.
Exactly.
And Snapchat it.
I love Snapchat. It's
she
so
was sitting
fun.
There Snapchatting her friend like all afternoon.
We draw pictures on each other's faces. It's so
no cool. One's ever Snapchatted me.
Download Snapchat. I'll Snapchat you.
Okay.
Zappity.
Grumble.
Have you ever played Path of Exile?
Yeah.
Yes.
I used to really, really like it.
Didn't you guys recommend it on there?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I recommended it.
That's like that Diablo style game. Yeah,
it's
yeah.
Free Diablo on the PC.
It's in a lot of people's opinions, it's what Diablo 3 should have been, because it's a lot more like Diablo 2, but updated, and it's free.
Right. It's fun. Remember this, because same conversation, I mentioned Titan Quest.
Yeah, I recommended it a while back. I enjoyed it. I don't play it anymore, but I really enjoyed it when I did.
Ta-da! Zappity.
Grumble.
Name one model that represents the spirit of each faction.
Kaya.
Nemo. Rengrave. Might not be the most competitive caster, but he, you know.
Yeah. Thagrosh.
Ophixious.
Yeah.
Tombshaper. Actually, he doesn't really represent trolls.
No, he does not.
No.
He represents his own agenda.
He does.
Pretty soon, all trolls will follow Tombshaper's agenda.
That'd be a terrifying book.
They wouldn't be the good guys anymore.
Right? That'd be 1938 in Imran.
Yeah. A little zappity.
Scrubble. Who's the favorite to take home the Mayhem Cup at War Machine Weekend? Hint, the correct answer is Houston.
Well, the interesting thing is we were supposed to announce that. We didn't announce that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, by the way, announcements.
The Mayhem Cup is being put up at War Machine Weekend.
But it's part of the qualifier event, I believe.
It isn't. What it is that the tournaments are going to be worth points. Several of the tournaments are going to be worth points. The Iron Gauntlet and the Hardcore and stuff are all going to be worth points. And each meta gets to nominate a champion from the qualifiers. It doesn't have to be someone from your meta, just because that wouldn't necessarily be fair. And that is also worth some points. But it's not directly tied in. So that'll probably be more like a tiebreaker,
so
depending
like
on how close it is. Yeah, I mean, it's just easier. You know, if we nominated Keith and Keith won, he'd be worth an extra 3 points towards the cup for us or whatever.
Cool.
But yeah, so it's just one of the many ways you can get points.
I am excited about the cup being there, because I don't know that, as much as I would love to compete for the Mayhem Cup down south, I just don't know that I was ever going to make the trip to Texas.
Texas is a giant pain in the ass.
But wouldn't it technically be, if Houston wins it, wouldn't it be their third defense and then it would go back to Iowa?
Technically,
if they follow the rules, if they do win, it should go back to Iowa.
Yep.
But with it being that many people from that many places, God knows where it's going to end up.
Yeah, it could
go
anywhere.
It could go to the East Coast. It could go to Germany. Yeah.
They do have to be careful. Whoever gets it, as long as whoever gets it understands they need to run, try to run that event at least twice a year.
I would laugh my ass off if it goes to another country. I think
that would actually be
hilarious.
Really cool. You went with hilarious. I went with really cool. Because then, think about it. John started something that is now international.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As long as it's defended a couple times a year, I don't care where it goes.
Agreed.
Yeah. No damage to the cup, considering we have like 8 entries in it.
And one of Iowa's entry was blatant cheating.
Yeah.
The cup they hosted, they had their own name already on it.
Even though they didn't win.
Right. Because they're like, hey, this is when it is, and it's being hosted here, instead of who won it. So immediately below it has Madison with the exact same date and everything, because that's who won the cup there.
They tried.
They do try.
Well,
they never won it, right? It just went back. Did they win it, or did it just go back because we won three times?
We won three times, then we gave it back to them.
But did they?
They did defend it, okay. And then we got it back again.
Because I was going to say, did they just never actually? No, we didn't get it back again. Houston.
No, we got it back one time.
We had it once after I joined the meta.
Either way, it would have been great if the only reason that the host team was on it was because they cheated and put their name on it at the beginning.
That would be fantastic.
But they have a legit one on there, so.
Sadly, yes.
But, as long as the place goes, wherever the cup goes, as long as it follows the basic rules of how the cup originally is scored, I'm all for it. And as long as it ends up coming back after three defenses, if that is
don't have painting be worth points, that was bad.
That was probably a poor decision. Yeah.
Well, yeah, it was all of our fault.
But that was.
I'm not saying Andy fucked up and made that happen. We tried it. I don't think it was the right way to do it.
No. Nope.
And so now it doesn't get done that way.
Yeah. Zappity.
Crumble. Cutthroat Caverns. Good game or best game?
That's fun.
I like it. It's a lot of fun. Katie enjoyed it the one time we played it, and then we mentioned it later, and she was like, I hate that game, and I still don't understand that. I think she was drunk, or she's remembering a different game.
I kind of want to buy expansions for that game, because I only have the core game. I heard it's fun with expansions.
I have the core game and one of the expansions. I do want to pick up the big box that has another expansion and then rooms for everything in it, because I think it's a fun game.
I thought you were talking about that game that Sean had, that pirate game.
Oh, no.
I can't think of that pirate game.
No one knows the name of that game. No. We just didn't like it.
I have a defense for me.
Yeah.
Sometimes when I think about things after a while, I decide that my initial reaction was incorrect.
Fair.
This is one of those fair. Cases.
You're just so weird. Like, I remembered you really enjoying it, and then when I was like, we should play that again, you're like, no, that game fucking sucked. Like, it was like, not like, I don't think it was as good as I feel like. Thinking back on it, it was just like, no, that was the worst thing ever.
She could have thought you said, let's play Agricola.
That's true. Agricola is a terrible game.
That is the worst thing ever. Yeah.
And to be fair, I also thought Agricola was a terrible game when I was playing it.
Well, that's fine then.
Does that have any?
Grumble.
Firefly board game through thorough enjoyment of the show necessary for enjoyment of the game.
Nope.
No.
Nope.
It goes the same thing with like Battlestar Galactica.
It helps because the theme's so well entwined, but it's a solid game without it.
Yeah. I don't think you need it.
I'm excited to play Sons of Anarchy, and I've never watched the show just because they do a good job with their games, and they're also thematic.
That game is actually a lot of fun.
Yeah. Handy, yes. Mandatory, no, is all I'm saying. Yeah.
Okay. You want to hear a funny story? Is our dog's name is Arya, and so everybody catches on that that's Game of Thrones and Arya Stark, and ha ha ha. But nobody ever catches on about Malcolm, and so it's very funny to me.
That Malcolm's a more common name than Arya, though.
Yeah, but
it's a common name for a dog.
But when I get mad at him in front of other people, I'll get mad at him and be like, Malcolm Reynolds, get over here!
I know. He's the guy that invented the aluminum foil.
Zappity.
Mm-hmm. Grumble. What is the best tabletop board game for introducing a tabletop gaming group into an RPG?
Whoa.
Descent.
Wow.
Full shirt that went out again.
Wow.
It's a board game to segue board gamers into RPGs?
Yes.
Descent would probably be pretty
Descent
good.
Or Shadows Over Brimstone?
Shadows Over Brimstone, Descent. Also, Myth is a new game that's popular. Also, Dungeon Explorer, Dungeon Super Dungeon
I think, Explorer. I think Super Dungeon Explorer is actually my vote. If I was going to try to get people into RPGing that enjoy board games.
I would go with a game that's less cartoony, I guess, because, I don't know, when I RPG, I see as being more serious.
Yes, but I think Super Dungeon Explorer is a very good gateway.
Because it's cartoony, I think it's one step closer to the, as far, it's an earlier gate.
Yeah.
Because Descent is almost like an RPG in board game form, whereas Super Dungeon Explorer, because it's cuter and lighter, is more of a board game that's an RPG elements into it. It's like the first step down that path.
Myth has some RPG things too. Depending on how you play it.
And I haven't played Myth, but Super Dungeon Explorer would be my vote.
Yeah, but any of those, they're all basically the same thing. Any of those
be Warhammer Quest,
those tile laying.
If you want them to never RPG ever.
Why?
Yeah.
You haven't even played it.
Warhammer Quest is the gateway to like classic D&D, where you would just fail a savings throw and explode because you were walking down the hall.
Yeah, you can't knock it anymore until you've actually played it.
Oh, I think
at
I
least
can.
Sit down. Sit
Challenge
down for
accepted. I will continue to
make fun of anything that I want, regardless of my authority on that thing.
Zappity.
Grumble.
I still think that you would like that damn game, though. You might like it.
And we might like his books for 12-year-old girls, but we're going to make fun of him for a play.
We're not going to read them.
Challenge not accepted.
If Andy reads all of the Divergent books, will you play Warhammer Quest?
I will make that deal, sir.
How many are there?
Three.
There's only three.
How many pages?
And they're small. They're made for like 10-year-olds.
Yeah, they're made for 10. Yeah,
they're made for teens. They're not that long.
You could read it in like a week of lunch breaks.
And then he gets to quiz you on it to make sure that you've
read it. Yeah, I will test you and make sure you've actually read them.
Well, I actually have to.
We have to record that so we can actually listen to the questions.
We'll do a let's read. We'll videotape you reading them.
It's just going to be me just staring at the camera turning pages.
Yeah.
You have to read it and then you have to speak aloud and do your reactions.
And do voices.
Reading time with Andy?
Why would they do that? That would be nonsense. Don't go up behind that door.
Don't read it out loud. No, I like Katie to better. Don't read it out loud. Just make sure you're very vocal about your opinions of what's happening. Like, well, that was a dick move. Oh, don't kiss him.
I like the other guy better.
That would be the best book on tape. Like, the book isn't on tape. It's just someone reading the book with you.
Yeah. Well, what you would do is you'd have it set up so that there's, like, cues as you're reading along. You're reading along and you
turn
the page.
There'd be a ding when you have to turn a page.
Turn the page. And it'll play Andy's voice. Well, I just thought that this was just ridiculous.
A Hunger Games would be fun because you'd be like, what the fuck is this? Main character's a bitch. God damn it. Well, she just shut up.
Is true.
Her inner dialogue is the most annoying thing.
Her inner dialogue is
terrible. If
you watch the movies, you don't get inner dialogue.
That's why the movies are better.
The movies are enjoyable because you don't get it inside of her head.
I enjoy the books despite her inner monologue. I enjoy the movies more because they don't
have. I saw the first movie in the cheap theater. It was me, my wife, and Jim. Just for some reason, we just decided to go see The Hunger Games.
Well, you and Jim are having that thing.
But the thing is, Jim and I agreed. It was something that annoys me about action films anyway, and of all the films to have this, the theory of The Hunger Games, they're videotaping this fucking thing. Why is there shaky cam? This is a professionally filmed establishment. Why is there goddamn shaky cam?
At least the second movie doesn't do that, because that's annoying on the first.
But the first one, like, they're fighting, and the camera's like, shaky, shaky, shaky. I'm like, there's a dude with a boom mic. Right? Like, they don't need shaky fucking cam.
Because directors like that, because it makes the action seem more real. And action-y. It's stupid.
And annoying.
It is the worst thing in the world.
Yeah.
It is appropriate 1 in 100 movies. It's used 80 out of 100 movies, and people should be shot in the face.
I blame the Blair Witch
Project. If the camera isn't being held by a character in the film, don't shaky cam.
Brian.
Yes.
There's a new scary movie with a Ouija board coming out. I'm not going to watch it, but I thought you might like to know.
What?
I watched several.
Huh?
We'll go watch it.
No, she said she doesn't want to go see it.
We'll go watch
it.
We haven't seen a horror movie in months.
I know.
You're not going to go
see it? I know. Really, she's been sleeping through the night. It's been great.
See Annabelle?
It looks really scary.
We should see Annabelle.
I thought of you, too, because Raylene's watching the American Horror Story Coven.
Oh, when are we going to watch The Witches?
Soon.
Or maybe she's not watching it. Her daughter's watching it. Yeah, her daughter's watching it. So if you guys aren't watching it yet, we can all watch it together. Because Raylene likes that show, even though I think it's terrible. But I'll watch it with you.
You and me, man. It's a terrible show.
Like the first season, I watched the first season with her. It's like every episode is like, here's some more random characters that are all stupid and you'll hate all of them. The end. And then the whole season was like, hey, by the way, see all these characters that you hate? The end.
Yep.
Like, there was no point.
His expression of happiness is so ridiculous.
It was so dumb.
And number two is Asylum.
The Witches.
No, three is the witches.
Two is an insane asylum, three is witches, and four is going to be a carnival.
It's a nun place, and there are crazy people living inside of it.
All right. Well, we can watch it soon.
Zeppelin? That's an asylum.
Grumble. Grumble.
Let's schedule with Nathan.
Min Mindbenders or Max Mindbenders?
Max. Why would you ever go Min?
Benders.
Max makes sense to me.
Did you see the pictures people did of Bender holding the iPhone 6?
No.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Hey, by the way, I like your picture. And I am angry at the person who is like, well, it's a happy ending if you watch the movies, because
fuck the movies.
Well, no, but even if you're like, okay, that's legitimate, the fry in the movie dies because he's a clone. So he still gets a dead master. So it's not a happy ending, so suck it.
Grumble?
I changed that picture to the dog from
just for Alex.
Just for, because Alex is like, man, it always makes me so sad when I see that picture. So I changed my image and I posted it on his Facebook page. And it hurt me just to look at the, because I had to Google search the picture and I just see all these, you know.
It makes me a little sad every time
you post. At least you don't have the animated GIF where his eyes close for long. Well, oh, the fucking, fuck you, Matt Green.
When it comes on Netflix, I have to just fast forward through that entire episode. I can't watch it.
Originally, it was going to be his mom, apparently.
Well, but I don't think his
mom.
That'd
be less sad.
It would be.
Yeah.
Well, he just be carrying around his mom, but his mom, if you like, like, his mom's not waiting on a street corner for him. Like, if he was carrying around his mom and decided not to raise her, like, she just moves on with her life.
But no, the point is, like, maybe she didn't. Like, it could have been the same thing, like, she waits up every single night for him or whatever. It wouldn't be the street corner, but she could have been, like, in the house sitting at the kitchen table waiting for her son to come home and dies of grief because he never does.
Well, the problem with the episode is it's hilarious up until that moment. You are laughing your ass off, and suddenly you're like, holy fuck, I've just cried for 3 hours.
Yeah. It just, was very sad.
It just fucking hits you because it was so comical, and then you're like, fuck.
It does destroy you.
Yeah, it's pretty horrible.
I mean, it destroys you. If you don't, or if you're not destroyed by that scene, you are not human.
That's
see
true.
A doctor.
That is...
You are
that
you're a
episode...
Psychopath.
And up is the way that you check to see if somebody's a serial killer.
Yeah, or a replicant. It's like the new Voight-Kampff test. Yeah. They have to do the whole turtle on its back Voight-Kampff thing. Tell me about your mother. You get a lambskin wallet. They just show them that scene.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, you didn't cry. Blam.
That's also how you find out if somebody's a Terminator. Fuck dogs. We don't need those anymore. We'll just have them watch up. I do not understand.
Zappity.
I also thought it was really sad when Mufasa died.
True.
No. Fuck Mufasa.
What?
Wow. Fuck Mufasa.
I've already heard this rant.
He's already heard this rant. Fuck Mufasa.
No.
That racist son of a bitch. Those poor, all these animals live in harmony. Hooray for all these animals. Oh, hyenas, go fuck yourselves in a desolate graveyard, shitheads.
What happened when the hyenas took over? Like, there wasn't even rain. They prevented the rain from coming with their terribleness.
You mean the starving, downtrodden hyenas?
They were not starving.
They were starving to death in a fucking graveyard.
I've seen pictures of starving dogs, and those were not starving dogs. They were well fed.
Oh, I'm sorry, Disney didn't draw the rib cages enough for you. The only thing Scar literally says, if you join me, you'll get to eat. And the hyenas are like, yeah! We'll get food for once in our fucking lives!
No, they get the elephant graveyard. Do you know how big elephants are? They get, like, the masters of the meat. It might be a little tough, and that's their complaint, but when they took over, they were like, oh, even the rain hates us because we're such terrible people.
That's true, but the thing is, it's like the Treaty of Versailles. The lions fucked the hyenas over so badly that this terrible leader... convinced them to do terrible things just because they were desperate. So the hyenas were forced into this terrible behavior because the lions had fucked them over.
So hyenas
it's not
are
Germans,
Nazis?
I mean hyenas' fault?
Yes, it's the French / the lions. If it weren't for the Treaty of Versailles, the hyenas never would have killed Mufasa.
Okay, you're just wrong.
No! Mufasa was a shithead.
No, he wasn't. Because
treats
you know
those poor
were?
Hyenas like crap. A noble creature.
Okay, first of all, no other than call hyena a noble creature.
Have you seen one of the videos? I think it was like episode 10 or 12 that they tried to show you.
Yes, I've seen
of
that.
The hyena.
Yeah, because he's hungry because the lions are being mean to him.
No, no. It seems like he's really intent on getting that elephant's ass or that rhino's ass.
Just saying, in the wild, when animal A makes a hard-earned kill and animal B steals that kill like a scavenging piece of shit, 90% of the time animal A is a hyena and animal B is a lion. What? But propaganda tells it's the other way around because of shitheads like Mufasa. And their Disney propaganda telling us lions are all noble. Fuck the hyenas. No, fuck you, Mufasa. And die in a fucking stampede, dickhole.
You're right. You know what? Making people orphans is the correct thing. You should punish the children of the people who are wrong.
It's That's unfortunate. The correct it's thing unfortunate. To do. It's unfortunate for Simba that his dad deserved to die.
You're right. And then he got exiled and almost killed by his uncle. You're correct. And let's not forget that they throw the entire land, not only the lions, but also like any of the plant eaters into terrible disarray just so that they can be avenged.
That's
right.
Scar's fault. No, that's Scar's fault. I'm not defending Scar.
No.
I'm just saying Mufasa's also a shithead.
I'm just saying
the whole family's shitheads.
You know what? The hyenas were only doing what they were told.
Yeah.
That's Again. A legitimate excuse right there. It saves a lot of them from imprisonment and execution.
Yeah, probably. But it's okay because Scar shot himself in a bunker.
Zappity. Dear God, Zappity.
I'm not grumbling. I want to hear more.
Grumble.
Wow. Okay, Andy, fuck the people who are hating on you over The Strain. Show's awesome. That said, Leftovers, how are they possibly doing a season 2 of that? That's not really a question, but thank you.
No, that was a question. How is there going to be a season 2 of Leftovers?
I haven't watched the Leftovers, but
it ended well. The season, I was happy with it.
I'm very happy with The Strain so far. And I know that there's some people out there who do not like it, but Man, I'm
like current on The Strain. I enjoy The Strain. Does you do any horror movie? Anytime you have a horror movie, some character has to be make a mistake to enhance the situation.
Yeah,
in some movies like Your Next, you have a character that actually doesn't screw up as much, which makes it even more enjoyable. And I think a better writer. There are times where in The Strain, people like don't make the right choice because A, they're panicked, and when you're panicked, you make the wrong choice. And to me, that's acceptable. But sometimes when someone's a professional and they make the wrong choice for the convenience of the script, it can be annoying. And all but all horror related, all TV shows do that. At some point, someone just makes a dumb call.
Yeah, it's like the average episode of The Walking Dead. Somebody just makes a horrible fucking decision, and you know, people die for it.
And sometimes, when you can understand the mistake, because sometimes you think it's a mistake, but they did it because of their reasoning, because our upbringing. You know, when a hillbilly just whatever. You know, it's but sometimes in The Strain, they do it for convenience sake. It's like in Lost, sometimes if two people would have talked for 5 minutes, you would have gotten rid of the problem.
Sure.
So, but Strain's still fun. It's still a good horror.
Every category of fiction has its cliched trope that the category depends on. Yeah. It needs to have that to exist at all. And this is as old as Greek tragedies. It's old as fucking hieroglyphics. Neanderthals, as they told stories, had these same cliches.
Yeah.
And in horror movies, people need to do stupid shit.
Yeah. Because
if they were smart, the zombies would be contained, the vampire would be slain, everything would be over. So people need to do stupid shit, or else you don't get a show, / movie, / book. So yes, people in The Strain do stupid shit, but they have to, because it's a horror show.
Weren't you the one that was complaining earlier this episode about something, and then people did things that didn't make any sense?
That might have been Candy Crush.
No, it was a show, and it was earlier today.
Well, I was saying that, and it's the same cliche. I was saying that Blacklist has the cliche of they're the detectives, they're trying to solve the crime, and they're stumped, and then they just randomly go, hey, that Mountain Dew can is green, like lettuce. Let us in. Vampires need invitations. Oh my god, it was Vlad! And that's a cliche, but every one of those has that.
No, you were complaining about them always using their sirens, because then the person runs away. No, because then the person always runs away, and I was like, well, then they wouldn't be able to chase him, and it wouldn't be exciting, and you're using the exact the show same defense that hour I did long. Earlier.
And I accept that as a stupid thing they'll do every episode, because they need the chase scene, but they're still idiots.
You were complaining about it. I'm just saying.
I didn't complain for it existing. I said that they're idiots.
Okay.
And that's a fact. Those characters are terrible at being FBI agents. Okay. They're the most incompetent law enforcement officers ever.
It's not law enforcement. They're not cops. It's
FBI is law enforcement.
FBI is law enforcement. Yeah,
it's federal laws.
If the FBI comes knocking on your door, you're probably going to jail. It seems like law enforcement.
And in The Strain, speaking of which, as all the dumb characters get killed off, you are left with some of the cooler characters. You're like, yeah, I'm just going to shoot the guy in the face because he got bit, he's going to affect it. So there's much more brutal characters left, which makes the show much more interesting.
And they have introduced characters that have not reappeared yet in the show yet, which is a very interesting take or divergent that, you know, seems very cool. I don't know. I like the show. I think it's cool.
Zappity
Grumble. All
right. For a first-time con goer, should I get to Adepticon or Gen Con this year? Well, if you want to play lots of War Machine, go to Adepticon, in my opinion.
If you want to see celebrities and do other stuff.
See everything else, go to Gen Con.
Yeah.
I actually,
they have different purposes for existing.
For a first-time con, I go to Gen Con.
I disagree.
Again, it depends on what you want to do. Right. If you're a War Machine, if you say I'm a first-time War Machine convention going to my first War Machine convention to play War Machine in War Machine tournaments, don't go to Gen Con.
Well, because the thing is, Adepticon's cheaper. Adepticon's less overwhelming. Like, in a lot of ways, Adepticon's a better first con. But if you want is the con experience outside of War Machine, Adepticon doesn't have that.
You're not going to get Will Wheaton's autograph and see some seminar about Klingon history and all this shit at Adepticon. You have to go to Gen Con for that.
Yeah, you're not going to see any fat Klingons at Adepticon.
You know, I can make that happen.
It's happening.
You're not going to see any what?
Fat Klingons.
That was my favorite thing that happened at Gen Con generally, but there has been, you know, there's not that many Klingons.
They were the original dress-up cosplayers.
Before
it was cool.
Yeah.
So now it's cool. Now they're all like, oh, yeah. we did it. People made fun of it.
Yeah, cosplay, the Japanese word, comes from convention dress up. Like, that's the etymology of it, because they were costume. Imitating. Yeah, they were imitating American Star Trek convention dress ups. So people think that that cosplayers now are doing a Japanese thing in America. It's full circle. It was originally an American thing.
Yep. And you don't see many Star Trek costumes anymore.
And I thought I came up with what was going to be my Halloween costume this year, but I don't think I'm going to get it done in a month, so I'm just going to wear it to like Gen Con or something next year.
You could do Dynamo? Ultraman?
Not quite. I was thinking...
Colin, I'm telling you, that picture of Dynamo.
Yeah.
Colin's exactly like
And Colin's Christian. I don't get what this is. Like, dude, is he crazy? But it does look just like Colin.
It's a picture of Colin in a goofy outfit. He's like, why am I in that picture? I remember being in that outfit.
Maybe in a decade, Colin invents time travel and goes back in time to have a film career playing Dynamo in Running Man. And he just doesn't want to admit that that's him.
Clap if you love him. That movie is so good. Oh, my God.
So, I have a question. Are we having a Halloween party? What's the
plan? I wanted to host one, like costumes and everything, except my house is kind of small, and I worried I could only fit like 10 people or so.
I assume if Katie says we're having one, we're having one.
Well,
if there's a party, it needs to be costume mandatory, goddammit.
Here's the reason I ask. It's because my friend from work might have a Halloween party. And so, if she is, I need to know what our plans are.
Having a Halloween party at your place.
We can discuss this
off air.
Now for the next 30 minutes. By the way, Fool Who's Listening, like, you know, you people who only dress up on Halloween are adorable because, you know, he dresses up like all the time.
Yeah.
Like 90 days of the year, he's in costume. He's like, oh, you adorable, normal people who dress up just on Halloween. You're too afraid to do it other days.
Here's my hint.
That I'm not.
As far as my costume, that's the thing, is I'm going to make this good. Because I was going to do a cheap, shitty version just for Halloween, but I said I'm going to do a better one. Because I was in the Halloween Superstore and they had the Green Man costumes. To be Green Man, because bodysuit's a cheap thing, and I saw they had a white version. And so,
sperm?
No.
Okay.
A few aisles over, they had a pretty princess costume with big wings. So I'm not going to go any more into detail, but all I need is buddy ears, and I got this shit.
I know what you are. Here's the thing, though. I'm going to be a flapper because my friend had her bachelorette party that was themed for flappers. I already bought the costume. That's what I'm going to be.
All right. Well, that can just be theme night for you and Jeremy.
$20 per Halloween.
You don't need a Halloween costume. Like, I'm sure Jeremy will be like, wear the flapper costume, and things are legit.
I could wear the cheerleader skirt.
I'm sure you already have.
What? Zappity.
Katie, why are you red?
Grumble.
We should eventually wear those jerseys again.
We should do that.
Yeah.
All right, but this time, when we go in, we have to be excited about it because Andy was like, I'm going to be excited about it. And then he walked in, and he was just like, I'm cool, I'm Andy. I'm just walking in like I'm all cool. Like
I was going to print out a 6-foot circular version of the logo for us to jump through, and Andy was like, no, I don't want to.
What the fuck? That's exactly what I wanted.
Or was it Brian that said not to? Brian, did you say not to? Somebody told me not to bother with that.
That's exactly what I wanted.
We had Pump Up the Jam
going on with us running into the room.
Dan had made, it was Muse's music. He had the first like 10 seconds of Muse's acoustic theme song, and then it did the record scratch noise and went into like, dun, 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 dun. We were going to come in through that. And then I was told not to bother printing the thing to jump through.
Brian, you're no longer my friend. You're a fun ruiner.
That's exactly what my signature file
says. I ruin fun. I wanted somebody to go in before us to hold it in front of the door, and we would all run through it.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Zappity.
Gumble.
Zappity. Which pig caster is the worst?
Who's the two party poopers
Who's
in this room?
Pig caster?
Pig caster.
Pig Which pig caster
is the worst?
Probably Midas. Nathan hates him.
What? What?
Zappity.
Gumball.
What? No!
Do you have a vote real quick or no?
We zappity grumbled.
Would you prefer to be able to... Okay, I don't understand that question. Do the Dresden books...
Wait, no. Read the question out loud. We'll figure out also the weakest competitively is Sturm und Drang, but I still think it's okay.
Yeah. Would you prefer to be able to walk and only walk through one out of every 20 walks, or run and only run through 49 out of every 50? Like zappity. I said, it makes no sense.
No, I understand, because sometimes you have to run, but if you have to walk because it's the 20th walk and you haven't... And you
But why is it 20 of one and 50 of the other?
It's just the way that he numbered it.
No, it makes no sense.
I like to walk places.
Grumble. Do the Dresden books get good again after changes? This one kind of sucks. My response would be go fuck yourself.
I actually responded next to them.
I am almost through book one of Jeremy reading it to
That's
me.
True, she is.
I will admit, Jim did not find changes as exciting as either.
The only Dresden book I did not enjoy was Ghost Story.
And Changes is the last one before Ghost Story, right?
Yes, which I thought was good.
Yeah, it's solid. It brings a lot of shit to a head, and so it is a little overwrought. Sure. But Ghost Story, yeah, no, you have two more books to read, and one of them's super good, and then the other one's amazing. So
Changes to me is probably in my top five favorite.
I really enjoyed Changes.
Changes, yeah, it's a top five book.
Like, he's just wrong. Like, if you said that about Ghost Story, I would say I would agree that it was the weakest of the Dresden books, but I still enjoyed it.
I think book.
Seven Katie points out, if you think about it, Changes is a lot like anal sex.
Hey, yeah.
There were a few steps to that process, but we're not going to explain them.
Zappity.
Come on.
Poop. Ben Whitaker says, why? Okay. What the fuck, Juju? Food Babe says I should protect it, but I'll be damned if I could recognize it if it slapped me in the ass and called me a good sport.
Juju?
I don't know.
Like Juju
Bees? Stuart.
Jujubes are really good for the movies.
Juju is a slang term for magic, usually of the voodoo or jungle shaman style.
Sure.
Alternately, Juju Bees are a type of candy, as are Juju
Fruits. I like to think he's going to the movies and watching a porno, and he's eating Juju Bees.
All right. I would not want
gonna,
to envision Stuart doing
I'm
going to
leave that on there. Zappity.
Gumball.
In a 35-point game, ideal number of monstrosities for Thexus.
Zero, because you shouldn't be playing a 35-point game. Zappity.
Wow.
Gumball. Wow.
Wow. All right, good.
That's our non-War Machine player laying the hammer down on you,
what would
scrub.
You like
two to
see,
three.
What would you like to see in a second Cephalix caster?
Another one?
Yep, done. Zappity. If you can only listen to one album for the rest of your life, what would it be?
Do you want to be stupid?
No hesitation.
None.
I will
Which polka is on Dare to Be Stupid?
I know the songs, but I can't think of the... Poke Your Eyes Out?
Name possibly. A couple of the songs.
I will one-up you slightly. Poke Your Eye Out. Potentially. Transformers the...
Well, I mean, soundtrack. That has literally Dare to Be Stupid on it.
Transformers the movie,
soundtrack.
The movie soundtrack, yeah. Which has Dare to Be Stupid on it.
Oh, what did we just see recently that I said it was the most amazing? Oh, Guardians of the Galaxy soundtrack.
That's a solid soundtrack. Mm-hmm. If you're into blue-collar rock, the it's technically a two-disc soundtrack, but the Forrest Gump soundtrack is really fucking amazing.
Yep.
I would do
a lot of Credence and
Christmas
stuff like
album.
That, but it's so good.
See, the thing is, I Want to Duck is on Dare to Be Stupid, and that's his best song. And so is Yoda.
Oh, if Yoda's on there, then yeah, I would.
The thing is, the biggest ball of twine in Minnesota, you
one
have
more
to
minutes.
Get on that. One more minute on that? All right, you win.
You win.
You're one done. More minute's my favorite love song.
But I still vote for Guardians
no
of the Galaxy soundtrack. Zappity.
Trumbull.
Spelldraft. Have you tried it? And if so, what did you think?
No, but we will in a couple weeks. Travis is having a Spelldraft event like on the week after, because what do we have, the 18th? So his is the 25th or whatever.
Okay.
The week after
Hooked
our
on
event.
Polkas, sorry.
There
I'm
you go.
Busy that day, but you can go to that.
That's true. I might.
Oh, you have permission. That's so adorable.
That's true. Zappity.
Gumball.
Should PP kill off a Warcaster for good? Not even
yes!
going to Cricks, just dead.
Yes!
Yes, I think it'd be amazing.
Yes! There's no reason not to. You can still fucking play them. Nothing stops you from playing Denny one or Haley one. Nothing like.
I think it'd be amazing. I think they should definitely do it.
It'd be interesting for storyline-wise. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, do it in the fact that it has lots of different casters. Don't like do it to Red or something. But
why not? Like, I mean,
I guess that's
really
true,
just why
it
not?
It doesn't really matter.
Plot-wise, it doesn't affect how many players you can play. I mean, obviously, you won't get an epic version of that caster again,
right.
But that doesn't stop them from releasing other casters that play the same way the epic
exactly.
would have.
That's true.
Plot-wise, you can open so many avenues.
Yep.
Oh, it'd be fucking amazing.
I never got the argument we can't kill casters and people won't play. You can kill them. Like I said, you can still play them. It doesn't...
Yeah, it's not like they're dead. They're on a banned list. That's not how it works.
It's like if Sevi 1 had been Garrick Voyle... And then he dies in the stories, nothing stopping you from still playing him in tournaments.
Yeah.
Like,
except for you know that he's inherently, you know, dumb.
Well,
he just got
fair,
fucked over.
To be fair, that's true of several of the people in the storyline that are pretty dumb.
Yeah. Voyle wasn't dumb so much as overconfidence. Whatever.
Zappity.
I guess overconfidence and stupidity are
worst
close
movie
brethren.
Ever.
What?
Worst movie ever.
Thin Red Line.
It's low, and I mean, that's a bad one.
New RoboCop's up there from recent memory.
Napoleon Dynamite.
Oh my
yes.
god!
Yes!
So I read an article on Cracked that pointed out another stupid fucking thing about the new RoboCop. All right?
Okay.
All right?
You won't believe what's in this movie.
So they go to kill RoboCop.
BuzzFeed.
Right? Sure. Yeah, that's BuzzFeed. So they go to kill... They're like, we need to kill RoboCop now because we're going to be evil for no reason. So they send two guys to kill RoboCop.
Sure.
Two thugs. Do you know why those two thugs can't kill RoboCop? They don't have security clearance to open the door he's behind. So that's phase number fucking one. Give them security clearance to open the goddamn door.
Mm-hmm.
Second thing, they fail because RoboCop shoots them in their faces. It's you know, it would be handy if the bad guys had, like, a button that people could wear that didn't allow RoboCop to shoot them.
Like a band.
Like some kind of a red band, so these guys, mm-hmm. so maybe give these guys keys to the fucking door and make them RoboCop immune, because then they could just walk up and slap them to death.
I'm seeing a problem with this, though, because if you gave them clearance, then you would have to take the clearance away. So, you know, that's just more
that's
paperwork.
That's paperwork.
And then if you have a band, that's expenses. And we're trying to cut costs here. We're not trying. We're not.
They only have,
this isn't charity.
They only have bands for like two people. The guy in charge of the robots and the guy that owns the company.
To be fair, if the guy in charge
of the guy who wrote in charge of the robots to kill him.
If the guy, well, they tried that and he got died.
No, he just got like punched in the back of the head by a random dude.
Yeah,
yeah. Like RoboCop's buddy is just
rubber
like
rubber arms.
Yeah. Zappity.
Crumble.
Terrible.
I'm just gonna say
how
Pearl
many
Harvey.
Releases do we expect?
Pearl Harbor did suck.
Pearl Harbor was pretty bad. How many releases do we expect in the next book? Five or six?
Isn't it six per? Was
I thought
thought
it was six
it's
per.
Never,
the
it's always, yeah, it's
every time you guys talk about book, I'm hoping for some different kind of book that's more interesting.
Like okay. How many releases will you get from the next Penthouse Forums book?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Zappity.
Release.
Release.
Stuart's back. God, what if Andy Welton has my juju? Or Brian Giese? Please answer. I'm a nervous wreck over my Jim Jams or whatever. I don't know what Stuart's talking about.
I think that makes me think that it's the reference to that terrible sequel to a decent James Bond parody.
The Austin Powers one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Stuart
about,
Stuart
juju.
Is selling
it was juju.
Juju to John Christensen.
Yeah, it took my juju.
He's selling him his copy of StarCraft. And his juju is kept in his copy of StarCraft, so he's selling it, so he's going to lose his juju.
Zappity.
Whatever, Stuart. You're weird and sad.
Xanax or whatever the thing is that makes you hard.
That's not Xanax.
Xanax.
Man, that explains a lot in that relationship over there.
She's just force-feeding Xanax to Jeremy. Why aren't you getting hard? And just showing Xanax.
I'm just like,
you're passed out. You're foaming at the mouth. And she's like, your dick isn't hard. It's just injecting free-based Xanax into your neck.
Jesus Christ, what's going on? Now we know where the chili outfit came from.
And that's his fetish.
Oh, you
that would be a better fetish.
It.
It's like taking the stranger to the next level.
take a bunch of Xanax. See the doctor in 4 hours because you passed out. Nothing happened. Lord. Nothing happened for 4 hours.
Oh my god,
Katie. she's run into the pharmacy. I need more Xanax! No! I'm so fucking horny.
they sell personal massagers at Walgreens, so it's cool.
Oh my god.
So I saw a personal massager, air quotes don't go over the radio, and it one-upped the, come on, you don't have to kid, we all know what's happening here, because it had like the three different attachments for the end, and it was like, this one's for the scalp, this one's for joints, it's like, fuck you, you're a vibrator, you don't have to explain each of the attachments. Claiming you're a personal massager was enough, you don't have to go further than that.
We're done.
I wish you'd gotten that and brought it, and then just like,
just like, massage my scalp with the butt plug attachment. Flubbida, flubbida, flubbida. Oh, this is great!
Butt plug attachment.
But what if it's true? Like, what if that was really good on the scalp? And just, like, not call attention to it. Just going...
Why are you making wet sounds?
That's the flappy rubber slapping across my scalp.
Well, he's taking his Xanax, so he's...
Like, if you'd gone with, like, Vicodin, at least you got the right letter, but no.
I don't know what it's fucking called. I don't need it.
Whatever those things you come home with are, Jeremy, she doesn't know.
Apparently. Oh, my God.
What?
Oh, my God.
I like that you just
that's why it's once
milk.
A month, because that's what his prescription allows.
That's when her Xanax runs
out.
Yeah.
That's how long it takes to get it come in the mail.
They can only go to the doctor for new Xanax prescription once a month or he gets
wait
suspicious.
Wait a minute. You can get Xanax in the mail?
This changes everything.
It's a Xanax commercial. I'm never looking at the commercial the same way.
Oh my god. Zappity.
Grumble.
No, Xanax. Grumble.
Pip says, do you like my shiny new meat bicycle on that note?
Yes.
Pip's my friend on Facebook.
Pip's my friend on Facebook.
He
friended
me too. He friended me too. I felt special until Jeremy told me that he friended him too.
I got a friend request. It was like, Pip, friend with Brian Gazy, wants me. Fuck you! Brian first?
Brian probably just accepted first.
Yeah.
He probably sent it to you first, but you were busy with your
Xanax. It's you.
Zabity.
I have a good time.
Grumble. Rush, Led Zeppelin, or the Beatles?
Beatles.
Rush. I enjoy Rush more.
I don't really have a vote.
The Immigrant Song is Led Zeppelin's best song because it isn't 12 minutes long and ends with random shit. That's a statement I'm standing behind.
Okay.
You just named every Door song ever made.
I don't like the Doors either.
Have you ever played the card game Prison Bitch Bubby vs. Jesus?
No.
No.
Zappity.
Grumble. Favorite Volbeat song?
I don't know who that is.
It's who Andy went to go see.
It's DJ. Oh, if I could train a mouse to be a DJ, I would name him Volbeat.
No. Mine would...
I almost asked why you were wearing a ring. I know, though.
It's like you get the Xanax prescription.
Katie, what's your favorite song?
By Volbeat. Yeah, no, by Volbeat.
Oh, I don't know who that is. Right. Sounds a lot like the Vol, though.
Andy, answer 5 times in each of our voices. Well, once per voice. That way we all have a favorite Volbeat song. Go.
It can be the same if there's just one good one.
Yeah, we can all agree, but we have to agree.
I like $16.
That's my favorite, too.
I enjoy $16 quite a bit.
That one's great.
I wish I had $18.
And that's all we wrote.
I didn't know that you could do all our voices that well, Andy.
That was impressive.
Well, keep in mind, this is all me doing everybody's voices just to catfish my brother.
Well, true.
That's true. Oh, and somebody asked, I've actually, you won't believe this, but a couple of people have asked, I am planning to do one of my factions the way Nathan did his, and if it's a terrible disaster, we obviously won't do any more.
I think while you're doing that, Andy should be in the corner reading that book.
Yes!
You can just look up occasionally.
Do you own these books?
Yeah.
Can you?
Yeah.
That'll work. Can we go to Fireman's on tomorrow for lunch?
Firehouse?
Yeah.
I don't know.
You can bring them? I'll read them and make you play that damn game.
I will at the very least bring them for you Wednesday, and I will give them to you in front of everyone.
I don't care. I cry it up.
If you got the book,
it doesn't matter to me.
If you got the book on tape version, he could listen to it while painting Exelon Thexis.
That's true. That would be next level torture.
So then neither would happen.
I'm
sorry.
No, there's no reason to be sorry. That's completely true.
That's a true story.
I accept it.
But he'll have him by War Machine Weekend.
We will have Andy painting update next week.
So he'll be primed by War Machine Weekend.
No.
He said
fully painted.
Last week he was going to be, I could enter it in a competition level. Andy's proud of it done by War Machine Weekend.
I didn't say if competition.
Yep.
No,
and I believe Madame Corbeau had a little light that went tink and it was on.
Yeah, what happened to that Madame Corbeau with the little light that went tink?
She's in the cabinet.
But Exxon Thex, he needs to be painted.
He needs a tink.
He needs a tink.
Zappity?
That's all we got.
Okay, my recommendation. I have a recommendation. So when I was a kid, my favorite movie was The Last Unicorn. And
I
wanted to see The Last Unicorn. I saw The Last Unicorn. It was amazing.
Hey! So you went to a special showing of Last Unicorn?
I didn't go see.
Oh, really? Where'd you go see a special showing of Last Unicorn?
Well, they had one in Madison
that I bought us tickets for.
If you had been on, I don't know, any kind of radar, apparently, because both Jeremy and my mom sent me a thing. But then we didn't go to that one because my dad was in town. So we went to the one in Rossburg, which is like 2.5 hours away. But it was really, really, really good. And you know what? You got to meet the author, and he was really funny. But the weird thing is nobody else was laughing, but I found him quite enjoyable.
Thanks for inviting me. Who is always high-fiving you every fucking time you talk about how good Last Unicorn is?
Hey, I made a Last Unicorn reference today, and nobody laughed except for Jeremy got it.
Hey, so I saw The Last Unicorn for the first time ever at the signing with the author. There are things in it.
I got a picture, and then I won a picture through an auction, and then I got his autograph, and I was going to take a picture with him, but I didn't know what the rules were, and I was really scared that I was going to be rude. But then Jeremy told me after we left and we were a half hour out that other people were taking a picture, and then I was a little upset with myself, but more upset with Jeremy.
That is how that went down.
Katie needs some Xanax.
I went and saw Penn and Teller in Vegas one time with my brothers. No, the anecdote's related to what you just said, so it's worth it. So people are going up, get an autograph, go get an autograph. I go to get my autograph, and this one guy says, oh, let me just go real quick. And, you know, I'm like, fine, whatever, you can go. Turned out that guy had, like, a family of 17, and they wanted to take pictures with Penn in every possible combination and permutation of those 17 people, and each 2 people, and then 16 and 15. So it was, like, just over and over. And the whole time, I'm just like, and then they'd take a picture, and they'd still go, and I'd go to walk forward, and then a different one. one of them would dart in and join the picture, and I'd back up, and then they'd leave, and I'd go to go forward, and then two others would go in, and one would tag out, and then I'd back up.
Well, they were just rude.
They were just dicks.
There was a girl there
with a horn on her head.
I was thinking the Lolita costume.
Oh, nice.
It was not, no, not
I didn't understand.
Nice.
We had a line buddy,
don't
though.
Kink shame.
We had a line buddy, though.
We did have a line buddy.
And I noticed that there are people who like this movie, the same movie that I like, that are not people that I would associate with in
so
normal life.
So Katie did not realize that there are hardcore fans of everything out there, and that hardcore fans at, like, Gen Con are not freaks when it comes to hardcore fandom. They're just all doing it together at Gen Con, because there were people being Gen Con-y in a theater in the middle of nowhere in Rossburg, Wisconsin, and Katie was a little weirded out.
Also, they had no sense of humor, because this guy was cracking a joke, like, every other sentence, or, like, every sentence.
He was fairly funny.
He was pretty funny, and they were just, like, looking at him like this. Like,
well,
very
intensely. Well, God is not funny, Katie.
It's like, this guy is just making all sorts of jokes.
If you laugh, you could potentially miss the next joke.
I don't know that they had a sense of humor.
I don't think that they understood that he was joking.
Thanks for
I really enjoyed the show myself.
Hey, they're having another one in like, and you guys just
a
go
decade.
To, and you just gotta go to 2016. You know what they're gonna do? They're gonna do an immersion theater though. So like,
yeah, The Last Unicorn is going to Broadway. They're gonna do it as immersion theater around the country, where it's like you walk in and it's like the IMAX of shows. And then once they've done traveling the country with that, they've bought a theater that they're just gonna have there at Broadway, and they're gonna remake it into The Last Unicorn and do the show there in that theater on Broadway.
We'll go to that together.
Okay.
It was really fun. That's my recommendation, is going to meet somebody that's awesome and not inviting Nathan.
I support that.
It's a good recommendation.
I really didn't know that you would want to go. Like, it was a last minute decision that we went Monday night.
Because Pip, go through all of our podcasts and find every time I high-five Katie because we both love Last Unicorn. Thanks in advance.
Oh, he's like, son of a...
That poor guy works way too much for us already.
He really does.
Here's the thing, though, is I would watch the movie with you at least, but I lent the movie to a coworker because I was telling her about it, and she was like, I also enjoyed The Last Unicorn, but also don't want to tell anybody about it. And so I lent it to her, but I had to sneak it to her because I was like, I don't want anyone to see what we're watching.
Especially now that I've seen what hardcore Last Unicorn fans are like, that's probably the right decision.
I told her about them, too. And she was like, oh, that's odd, because she is a very normal person. Not that you aren't all very normal.
I honestly haven't seen The Last Unicorn since I was a kid.
I haven't seen it until a few weeks ago.
I have no memory if I have or have not seen it.
The Red Bull is scary.
Man, this was a
long week. When I was a kid, the Red Bull scared the shit out of me.
We got an art print of the Red Bull that's really cool.
Fuck you.
And
it's signed.
We got a free thing, and I got an illustration of the whole book.
Just signed the print.
I should have had him sign a can of Red Bull.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm sure that doesn't get old.
No one else
Really? No one else was being funny about it. They were all very serious.
It was a very serious event.
Yeah.
It was very odd.
Imagine the most serious hardcore fans at Gen Con. That's what this line in the middle of fuck nowhere Wisconsin was like.
Do you remember when I met Will Wheaton? Like,
yes.
How intimidated I was? It was like that, only 100 times worse than that.
That's what everyone
That's
was
what
like.
That's what everyone was like. Which I didn't realize that it was such a big deal. Like, it was just a movie that I really enjoyed when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he told us who was going to play, who was going to be in the play, but I forget. It was somebody very famous. Fergie? I think it was Fergie.
No, Fergie enjoyed...
No, he said Fergie was going to have a role. Like, she was so
excited. Like, from the Black Eyed Peas or the Duchess of York?
No, like, from the Black Eyed Peas.
Oh, well, fuck that, then.
Wait,
apparently
they're different people? I always thought it was the same person. Like, that's a pretty hip thing to do. I didn't really pay attention, and I always thought they were the same person. Because I don't care about either thing, so I just figured they're the same person. Like, that's a pretty wild person from... I'm a little sad now that that's not the same person.
And Chris from Criss Cross was actually Prince Charles.
What?
Yeah.
No, but his name isn't Chris.
It was his code name. Stage name.
But that's different. It was Fergie. I'm like, it can't be more than two Fergies.
I found out about that a couple years ago, too. I thought they were similar. I'm like, why is Fergie? It was like when the Black Eyed Peas were like really, really popular at the time. I'm like, that doesn't make any sense. She's not a redhead.
Yeah. That'd be weird. Otherwise, you know, like Fergie pees herself on stage. I'm like, oh no.
Yeah. I'm like, this makes no sense.
The royal family must be ashamed.
Probably has a medical condition.
Man, that just shattered my whole outlook on life.
Anyway, I actually don't think I have a recommendation.
I have a recommendation similar to Katie's, so I'm going to go with it because this is on Netflix and I watched it because I had never bothered to watch this because I think it's an underappreciated film from the kind of the that renaissance of Disney, like when they did Little Mermaid and Beauty and the Beast and Lion King and Aladdin and everything like that. So they kind of tapered off and got shitty with stuff like Home on the Range. And one of my go-to underrated classics from that area was always Emperor's New Groove, but which is a great movie, eminently quotable, wonderful. Demon Llama, do that all the time. But anyway, Treasure Planet, super good. I had literally never bothered to see it because I like people had stopped giving a shit about Disney by that point.
I've seen that one.
And Treasure Planet is really good, actually.
I don't remember enjoying it, but I would watch it again.
It has a lot of CGI art in that, rather than like the normal traditional Disney art.
Well, it's blended in. It's kind of like, because they started with that a little bit with the ballroom dance scene in Beauty and the Beast is CGI, and they have and Aladdin the same thing. And so Treasure Planet has a lot of that, where like the set, for lack of a better word, is CGI, and then it has hand-drawn people in it. But it's still the traditional kind of 2D animation, but mixing up a little bit. Almost like a Lilo and Stitch level, also.
I'm going to do a callback real quick. So the CGI on Atlas Shrugged for the second movie is so horrendous.
Oh, really bad.
You feel like if you were entrenched in the movie at all, it pulls you right back out, and it's like, whoa, that's just a toy jet.
Yeah, the CGI in the second one was bad.
Horrendous.
You mentioned like that time, like The Emperor's New Groove is another great movie that came out at a weird time for Disney because those movies started getting weird and people started watching, but the movies like that would come out and it was just amazing.
Yeah.
I don't think that did well at the box office.
It did not do very well at the box office because, really, like I said, people had kind of stopped giving a shit about Disney because Pixar was really exploding, and so Pixar was trumping Disney, and that's when Disney kind of panicked, and then they freaked out. They're like, oh, well, it can't be because of our writing or because of this or that. It has to be because people only want to see 3D and not want to see 2D animation. So then they did Chicken Little and Meet the Robinsons and stuff like that. And then those didn't do very well. So then they went back and they're like, fuck, what's happening? And so they did Princess and the Frog. And like they got really scattered. So now they've just settled on buying Pixar. And that's how they solve their problem.
They're like, it works for Microsoft.
Yeah.
You know? Let's just use that system in the center.
Also, my traditional second recommendation is Psychonauts is $5 on the PlayStation Network. $5 for Psychonauts. Buy it. You have no excuse.
I think I've played it. I think I like it.
Yeah.
Which is unlike Papers, Please, I actually can say I liked it, because even though I still don't know how I recommended that one.
I remember you.
You did it just to troll me.
I'm
like, I'm going to recommend this. You're like, nah, you're not, bitch.
Right. I would never troll somebody.
Do you have your recommendation?
Fine.
That snail doing?
So many compliments. People love the snail pic more than any other picture from Jamaica. I literally have gotten the most people. That snail was amazing.
You know what? If you poke their eyes, they go back into their heads.
I did not know that.
People are like that, too. If you poke hard enough, like they go all the way.
Eye.
That's not his eye? Wow.
You guys really
need at least get some Xanax in him first.
Right?
We've not technically recommended Destiny, so I'm going to technically recommend it.
Okay. Just I would have if you had it.
Jerking off about it constantly for the last three episodes didn't count about
it's
recommendations.
It's a fun first-person shooter with MMO elements. It can be PvE or PvP. I will say that as much as I'm enjoying PvP, I'm surprised on how late game PvP is critical for advancement, because there's like five factions and they get items out of four of the factions, even if you grind them in PvE.
So the difference between those four factions literally is just which of the three stats they boost.
Correct, but to get any of those gear from those factions, you have to do PvP.
Yes.
In order to do a lot of other things, you have to do PvP. It's like, also, you can get legendary, like, items through blueprints, basically.
Through bounties, yeah.
And every bounty for every legendary item requires PvP. So
they're technically exotics, but
They're exotics, but I'm just saying it's weird to me that it's such a focus of the game when I thought they were going to be big on PvE. And
to be fair, if you can gear up way
it's
better...
It's Bungie. They built on Halo, which was...
Well, to be fair, though, you can PvE in the gear you're wearing right now, you could go through the Tower Glass, because you're the same level I am, and the gear in there is just strictly superior to what you could buy from the Crucible. So you can, if you're doing the end game PvE, you're fine. The like from 22 to 26, it's tough without PvP, I think.
But I mean, people like the faction. See, part of a game like an MMO, you can grind faction.
Yep.
But only one of the five factions is non PvP, which is to me weird. I mean, I still like the game.
No. What you're missing is the three that aren't the Crucible.
Yes.
You steal rep from Vanguard.
To buy their coins, you need to do PvP to buy their items.
Yeah,
it's a fun game, and if you play with friends, it's even better.
Yeah,
it's a good shooter, and it's
So I'm just going to officially recommend it. So, yeah, so Pip can put it in the record books.
Yep, put it in the record books. I will second that recommendation, but I do have a separate one as well. Do you want to go first, Andy?
How many recommendations is everyone going to have?
I have one more when everyone gets done.
Katie did one, Brian did one, I kind of only did one. Unless you count two as a different number than one, in which
and
case
also,
I did two.
Also, you really should get Star Realms for the iPad. It's such an amazing
game. Now Brian's done two, good.
Well, I recommended it last week, but it's such a good game.
We're only averaging one and a third per person so far, so rounding, that's still one.
I was going to do two as well. One of them is Z Nation that's on, I think, Fridays on...
Thursdays.
Thursdays?
Yeah.
On Sci-Fi Network? Don't watch that fucking thing. Unless you like Asylum-style movies. Because it is an Asylum-style version of The Walking Dead. So if you just want to watch horrible, horrible acting, really bad CGI, really bad graphics, really bad plot lines... Z Nation is your key.
I'm watching it, and I'm not really enjoying it, but I was afraid you were going to say it's the best thing ever.
No, you know that.
It was pretty bad.
Sorry. It's unrelated to anything you're saying.
Well, it's talking over what we're saying, though.
Well, they were trying to whisper.
Yeah. Katie's a little bit loud today. She's very excitable.
Katie's very excitable today.
So that was number one.
Don't watch Z Nation.
No, yeah.
Unless you like shitty things.
No, if you enjoy all the Asylum style movies, like Transmorphers and that, then this
Sharknado.
Show is good for you.
There is one neat thing about the show that I did like is in this world, if a dog gets bitten, it's now a dog zombie, or it's not like it's like anything that gets bitten becomes a zombie.
Elephant would be terrifying.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, yeah. So
the whole zombie dog situation that happened in episode two was just fucking stupid.
Well, that's true. But I like when you can have, like, when it's not just, you know, zombie.
Yeah.
I don't remember if I mentioned this in air or not, but Raylene was reading a book that was like that. And, the one of the scenes, the rats, the zombie rats in the sewer just, like, running over these people.
Oh, it sounds horrifying.
That was great. Like, this guy, it's just him and this chick and this other guy, like, are on the subway platform. And... so the rats start coming out of there, and they, like, eat the douche nozzle guy. And so the girl and the main guy are both running, and she's in high heels. And the guy's like, fuck you, you're too slow. And just lets go of her hand. And then just because he's like, he does the math in his head, and he's like, no, you're not going to run fast enough. So he just lets go and just books it. I was like, kind of a dick move, but on the other hand, correct choice.
My second recommendation, it's kind of quick. It's if you enjoy a band and you like their music, go see them live. Mm-hmm. Just go take the effort to go see them. Because I liked Volbeat before until I saw them live, and now they're fucking amazing. It just enhances the experience of watching the band.
Could I get a concert where there's no one else there, and it's just me watching the band, and all the people who are annoying aren't there?
Perfectly honest, you could be one of the people that sits, kind of stands in the back and watches the band. It's dealing with people in that regard, it's not that bad.
Yeah, like when Andy and I went and saw
Andrew WK,
we just were way in the back because we didn't want to deal with all that shit. We were just in the back shooting the shit with the sound guy. And it just was what it was. We didn't have to...
The only time you have to really worry about people is at the very end of the event, is when you're trying to get out because, you know, you have 500, 600 people trying to exit a building all at the same time. But otherwise, just going to a show, you can easily just stand. Nobody's going to bug you. You know, then go see bands that you like
because
they make money off of that.
That is true.
Instead of, you know, you can buy the record, but, you know.
They make a lot more money off.
They make a lot more money off of the concerts and merchandise sales there. Yep.
All right. My second recommendation, I also recommend Destiny. It's a great game. Is a show that I recently discovered that's apparently been out for a whole season. Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Brooklyn Nine-Nine's fucking amazing.
It's fantastic.
We have recommended that.
I flipped through the recommendations thing. I didn't see it in the last 10 episodes.
If you're the first person to recommend, that'd be pretty amazing.
We have failed if that is the case.
That show is so
hilarious.
It's recorded in the other room right now.
He freaking hilarious.
And the Simpsons.
You about it.
Has the new season started?
The Simpsons crossover is happening tonight too.
We watched a little bit of that one time at Andy's when the old place on Keswick because it was the first episode we were watching and it was I'm Detective Wright all the time and this is my partner Detective.
Detective gets things wrong or something.
I forget what the exact words were, but the point is we all laughed at that. I'm like, see, show's good. Yeah. Plus, it has my boy
Andre Brower.
No, Terry Crews. I love Terry Crews.
Terry's hilarious.
I got the biggest man crush on Terry Crews.
That show has such a unique... Every cast member is ridiculous, and you think in some ways, some shows can get... You know, you get their sitcom, you have ridiculous characters, and it doesn't work, but this show just...
It works.
Works. So I guess the main character and the crazy secretary are real life friends for like 20 years.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
So
that must like help. They tour and do comedy together and stuff
so
like that.
That makes sense. Tell, I think that really helps the show is you got people who know each other longer. They really play off each other.
Yeah. I'm just watching the first season on Hulu because it was like, hey, you might like this because you watch other things.
You might like this because it's amazing.
Yeah, I've hurt myself laughing watching this show.
Well, the problem is the scene where they're trying to figure out the game Dog or Wife.
Yeah.
Have you seen that one?
I don't think I've seen that one.
It's this game they play where they ask this guy questions about Kelly and try to figure out if it's his dog or his wife.
That's
fantastic.
Like,
so what did you and Kelly do? Oh, you know, we went for a walk the other day. It was nice. Blah, blah, blah. Like, oh, how old is Kelly? Well, you know, she's getting up in years, but she's still spry for her age. But, you know, she hasn't been the same since she got hit by that car. They're like, damn it, I still don't know.
Yeah, I'm really enjoying it. The only problem is I watch it at work, because I watch Hulu at work, and I've literally been in my office, and I have an office myself, but I didn't think to shut the door before watching the show, which was a mistake, because I started laughing so loudly that one of my team members from down the hallway came into my office and was like, what on earth are you doing? And he's like, oh, Brooklyn Nine-Nine, that makes sense. And he walked out.
Like, I'm at work. I have a problem. This is kind of related to laughing, too. I don't know why, but when they have like the tweets from parents kind of, or not like text messages from parents on, there's like a website that collects those. And for some reason, whenever I read them, I just laugh more and more. I just find that crap too hilarious.
Yeah.
The autocorrects.
So the autocorrects of parents. Yeah. Whenever I read it, I just start laughing so hard. And I work people like, what's wrong with you? I'm like, I can't tell them I'm just reading autocorrects.
Like, and some of them that aren't autocorrects, but like these parents, some of these parents are amazing. Because like what I saw was like, you know, like, hey, make sure like, it's just something about, like, I'm going to be banging my wife real hard today. And the guy's like, oh, Dad, you accidentally sent this to me. And he's like, yeah, I know.
Like,
don't come home early.
Yeah. Between that and the autocracks, I swear to God, that's like, I just find all that hilarious. It's like, everyone is, like, the most funniest thing in the world to me. Like, I literally can't stop laughing at those.
Yeah, sometimes I'll scroll through one of those, and they have, like, 20 or 30. And I'll get the thing where, like, I'll be scrolling, and, like, I'll randomly just laugh. I'll be down to, like, number 12, but I'll just randomly bust out laughing, remembering number 2.
Yeah.
Just because it just comes back. I'm like, holy shit, that one was funny.
Yeah, I usually am really good when I watch shows at work that I don't like vocalize because I realize I'm at work. But man, Brooklyn Nine-Nine destroys me sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh man.
All right.
Katie, you had a second one when it came back to you.
I don't remember what it was.
We've been doing this so long.
Was it
get more Xantex for
Agricola?
Jeremy?
No, it was
you're
not
a huge Agricola fan. I
am a huge Agricola fan. That is a fact.
It's sound funny because forever. You don't like it.
No, not at all.
We're going to soundbite that.
Bye-bye.
Bye, everyone.
Merry Christmas.
I have to pee.